popping. We're in the DealsNadee.com studios for the Monday show. Fresh off a flight home from Denver. Yeah.
Oh, fresh?
Not really.
Oh, boy.
City by the Bay.
City by the Bay?
Will Ferrell reference.
Oh. Yeah. So here we are with Mark Brandon Kennedy in her second to the last day.
Aww.
And one empty chair we'll get around to discussing one of these days. But what a day it is for Tiger fans as Alan Trammell and Jack Morris are put in the Hall of Fame and give their speeches. And I was just reading Tram's speech, which was, I thought, quite good. He said he'd been working on it since 4 days after it was announced.
Oh, really?
So it was obviously very important.
Took him so long.
That perfectionist thing, I guess.
Did he remember to thank Lou?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm just kidding.
19 years in one uniform, that's the one thing that, you know, we're just not going to see anymore.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. And, you know, when you look at his numbers against shortstops, it's pretty obvious. But I thought he made a great point today. He and Morris were drafted in the same draft in 76, along with Dan Petrie, and the Tigers drafted Ozzie Smith.
That's crazy.
He didn't sign. I guess he went back to school. But, wow, what a draft that was. He gave Bill LaJoy the credit for that. He mentioned all his coaches, which is really nice. His high school team was 32.
I'd love to watch that guy speak.
Yeah, it was a good speech. Do we have any Tram audio, or we just got Jack audio?
Yeah, I think it's a little early. They haven't really cut up a ton of it yet, but I do have some of Jack. Here he is talking about the toughest at-bat he had to play against, and I guess that was Carl Yastrzemski.
The Yaz.
Yes.
People ask me the question all the time, who is your toughest out? It happened in my first trip to Boston in Fenway Park. The PA announcer, Sherm Feller, had a unique way of introducing players. I will never forget what he said. Batting third, left fielder, number 8, Yastrzemski. Carl Yastrzemski, number 8. It was a memorable moment. My first pitch fastball, on the corner, down and away, perfect pitch, ball 1. Second pitch slider, on the black, down and in, perfect pitch, ball 2. The next pitch was a fastball underneath his hand.
Uh-oh. Oh, what happened?
Wait,
second pitch
pins
slider,
and needles.
On the black, down and in,
I
perfect
heard this pitch. It's a ball.
Ball 2.
Ooh.
The next pitch was a fastball underneath his hands. Another perfect pitch, ball 3. I just shook my head and wondered if this was the way it was going to be when a rookie faces a great player for the first time. The fourth pitch was a fastball down the middle. I needed to throw a strike. Whack! Line drive off the green monster and left. As Yaz was rounding first, heading to second, I heard footsteps. I turned around to see home plate umpire Ron Luciano coming towards me. He said, Jack Morris, that's Carl Yastrzemski. He's one step away from the Hall of Fame. Welcome to the big leagues.
What a dick.
The toughest I ever had to endure, but it was nothing compared to facing George Brett for 15 years. Pretty sure every guy behind me got a few hits off me.
What a card that umpire was.
Wow, that had what I really like in a story, an ending.
Jack had the most wins in the 1980s, which I thought
that's
made
him
a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
dominated an era.
It seems as if it took the 21 wins in Toronto in 92 and that World Series victory, 10 innings for Minnesota in Game 7. Why there was ever any doubt that Jack would go in, I don't know. 254 wins. There's plenty of pitchers with less. He did have the 3.90 ERA.
Well, Mitch Albom really went on a limb and said that Jack always belonged in the Hall of Fame and Trammell.
And how did Mitch, did he
insert himself?
Way to make it? Well, I know he had a lot to do with it.
Well, he covered them, and Jack was always a little salty towards him.
He was a little surly with the media.
There was a lot of Mitch Albom in his own article. I once wrote about seeing him in Toronto a couple of years after he left the Tigers. Hi, Jack. Hello, Mitch. Miss me? No. Miss Detroit? I had enough of people blaming me for everything. Happy air? What do you think?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I know Nice pointing out that he was pissed at the city for a while.
Yeah, he had nothing but good things to say. You know, these guys mellow out. Yeah. Jack, you know, starting in 79, won 17 games, 16 games, 14 games, 17 games, 20, 19, 16, 21, 18, 15. That's an amazing stretch. Then the last year in Detroit, or the last two were not great. 6 wins, 15 wins, 15 and 18. Then 18 and 12 in Minnesota, that magical year of 91, and then 21-6 in Toronto, and then he had 17 and wins and 18 losses his last couple
of
years.
You want to hear a clip of Tram's speech?
Sure, yeah.
The Baseball Writer Association of America, Commission of Baseball. I also want to thank the memo to all my beautiful and intelligent daughter. So she chose it baseball. I guess mom do knows best. Several of my high school friends, a run score after my first 10 game, 25 run score, and 33 steal. My first year in the minors league helped me develop my skill. I received a call in front of my family and friend, John Morris of the San Diego Padre, and the other general manager and owners of Major League Baseball team.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if Alan Trammell really did plagiarize all of Ricky Anderson's speech?
Word for word.
Mistense and all.
Grammar for grammar.
For some reason, that speech worked, too. That's the weird thing about it.
Because it's Ricky. He's nuts. Yeah.
I don't know. You know, with a tense, you'd think you have a 50-50 shot. With him, he never gets the tense right. The tense right.
Nobody
it's
has ever called him the San Diego Padre.
No, that there are Nobody a couple that are really strange in there.
Incredible.
But I'm just trying to think of some other things I read about.
Well, it's
Jack.
Cool that with Jack here, he was an innings eater. He had 11 seasons over 200 innings. Nowadays, if you get 200 innings, you're an ace. There's very, very few pitchers that actually get 200. He had 293 one year.
Yeah, that's 266, crazy. 257, 267. He was not a big strikeout pitcher. He just had 1 year over 200. But let's see. I know he had some complete games. Let's see. Where's the complete game?
Which no one does now.
No.
Oh, God. He had 175 of them.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. 15 one year, 20 one year, 17, 15, 11, 13, 15. I mean.
Yeah, but did anybody go back on their Twitters and see if they ever wrote anything?
Well, I don't know. A lot of these older guys aren't on Twitter. Thank God. We'll get to that. Jack was a 5-time All-Star. He mentioned how happy he was he pitched in that era because he would not like to go out after 100 pitches. And so many of those great guys did throw 150, 160 yeah. pitches a game. And I think, you know, if your arm's conditioned to it, it wasn't a big deal. Now, I don't know, are they really extending careers? Maybe they are. No, Jack lasted a long time, 18 years as a starter. Pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Alan Trammell, wow, what an incredible string. There's a stat, and maybe you can dig it up, Brandon. Teammates who've played together in the most games.
Is it Trammell?
Trammell and Lou, I think, are number one. But I was shocked to see that my favorite player, Ron Santo, is up there, very close to the top.
What about Malone and Stockton?
Oh, you mean in
basketball? They played 81 games. They can't touch Trammell and Lou. I think it's George Brett and Frank White. Played in a ton of games together. Yeah. And Santo, Billy Williams, and Ernie Banks also. I think they might be the three that played in the most games together.
Here's Tram on that part you were talking about the 76 draft.
Dick Winsek, the scout who signed me, deserves a lot of credit. Dick was able to convince Bill LaJoy, who was the Tigers scouting director.
Hi, Richard.
To draft a skinny, 165-pound shortstop with no power. Looking back, Bill respected Dick's judgment. Dick Winsek would sign 72 major league players,
Ooh.
The most in baseball history.
Ooh.
I remember Dick telling me that if I hit 250 and played good defense, I would play in the big leagues a long time. I doubt scouts are telling young shortstops that today. Dick also had a hand in a few other Tigers drafted that year. That 1976 draft also included my fellow inductee and teammate Jack Morris. And this marks the first time
that two members of the same team
reached Cooperstown.
That's pretty amazing.
The Tigers also
two guys in the same draft
Dan
in Cooperstown by the same team.
Who, along with Jack, formed the 1-2 punch at the top of our rotation for many years.
And we also drafted another shortstop who just happens to be here today. That would be Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith. Now, Ozzie didn't sign with the Tigers, and he went back to school.
The
Tigers had one heck of a draft that year.
Tram gets one.
Dick, thank you for believing in me. Your signings played a big part in our championship run during the 1984 season.
Ooh. Yeah, Tram,
he's a good dude.
1,000 RBIs, 2,300 hits, 1,200 runs.
33 steal.
285 batting average. SOPS is only 767. Shortstops did not put up numbers like he did in 87. 28 homers, 105 RBIs, 343 batting average. That was hitting cleanup, by the way, which he also mentioned that Sparky put him at cleanup, which he was shocked by. But anyway, it's not a sports podcast, but
that's cool.
We're so happy for those two guys. Great, 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 great players, man, and they deserved it. And I'm surprised it took as long as it did. And now Lou Whitaker, is he going to just take the Veterans Committee to get him in?
Probably.
His numbers against second basemen are, of that era,
good.
I don't know who's better. I think Sandberg came along a little later, and Jeff Kent, and they have bigger numbers.
Is Joe Morgan in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. Oh, yeah.
He's got to have way better numbers than Joe
Morgan.
You know,
they're pretty close, actually. Really? Joe Morgan, I think, had 280 home runs. Lou had 240-something. Lou had some great years, though. Huh. Really did. And double play, you know, defensively.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. So, yeah, there's another baseball development, though. Not really too sportsy. We'll get to that in a second. But first, our friends at Zod M59 Chrysler Jeep are celebrating the summer. With some of the lowest prices and largest inventories in Metro Detroit, you won't find too many people that wouldn't love to have a new Jeep Wrangler. And with leases this low, almost everyone can afford one from DealsInAD.com. Right now, during the summer clearance event, lease a new 18 Jeep Wrangler 4-door Sport at $249 a month. Plus, our friends at Zod Chrysler Jeep have almost 300 new Wranglers available for you to choose from. You heard right, nearly 300 new Jeep Wranglers available in White Lake. Or if you prefer to keep a few extra dollars in your pocket, go lease a new 18 Jeep Cherokee all-wheel drive for $179 a month. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And, oh, boy, I get to look at some pictures. Diva at the offices of Dr. Roche, vaginal rejuvenation.
Nice.
The Diva vaginal laser uses hybrid technology, two lasers, to create controlled zones of coagulation heat to chosen depths into the tissue that stimulates neocollagenesis, new collagen, and fractionally vaporize microlaser channels in the vaginal canal. What does that mean?
It makes it tighter.
It makes it.
That's all you need to know.
Makes it work a whole lot better.
You don't need to know how it works. It just works.
Just go online and listen to women. You can easily find women talking about how much they appreciated this procedure. Doctor recommends you abstain from intercourse only 48 hours after a Diva treatment. Mm. And it's one of those things, you go in, you go out. It's not a big deal. A little numbing jelly for 10 minutes.
Ooh. Nice.
But Not a painful thing, and a lot of very happy people. That was I really didn't want to know too much about this. The best information I got was from watching this group of five women talk about it, who were all so happy for each other.
Were they drinking wine while they were talking about it?
I think they were.
Of course.
But they're doing everything else.
You can't
over
find
there.
A group of five women that aren't drinking wine.
That's a possibility. Also, of course, the Body Tight, the procedure of 2018. We've called it that for no reason. Boobs, always boobs. Lipo. You know, they're busy
doing
whatever you want.
Done.
Dr. Roche, call for a consult.
Big titties.
Stop looking gross.
248-338-1110. 248-338-1110. DROCHE. Now, also in the baseball world, Sean Newcomb with the Braves was pitching a no-hitter, 8 2/3. He had two strikes on the third out in the ninth inning, and he gave up a hit,
which
lost his no-hitter.
I love this, too, because the Braves let him throw 133 pitches. Because how often do you see him just yank a guy? He's never gone past seven innings.
I'm surprised they let him go that far.
Yeah, well, he had history on the line.
And they like, but unfortunately, during the game, some racist and homophobic tweets were discovered.
Of course.
Someone decided, what better time to deep dive into his Twitter than when he's pitching a no-hitter?
Can we just, after every spring training from now on, just do a deep dive in every single player's Twitter and get it done with?
How old was he when he had these tweets?
Well, it was 2011, so that was...
How old is he?
Is he 25 now? So you're talking 18?
He's
25. It's a teenager.
Why are teenagers on Twitter? Why?
Well, back then, nobody knew.
But they're going to say dumb things. They're just going to.
Yeah. But who, once again, who in 2011 thought that you could ever would ever want to dig up Sean Newcomb.
Well, the better question is, after this issue with this Milwaukee Brewers player last week, why wouldn't you go back and make sure you got nothing on your tweet?
Because he probably doesn't even remember what he tweeted. I couldn't tell you what I tweeted 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think I tweeted anything like this guy tweeted, but I'm just telling you.
It's ludicrous to get mad at this. It's stupid that
Who are the assholes going into people's Twitters, by the way? Does anyone care what he tweeted in 2011?
No. Who cares what a teenager tweeted, ever?
He called a lot of people fags. So he would tweet at people, "You're a fag," or respond, "Stop being a fag."
I'm sure he wish he didn't say
that. Who's
he
tweeting at? I'm just kind of curious. I shouldn't be.
Oh, his buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, his buddies.
Probably friends, because I don't recognize any of these individuals that he's tweeting at.
Well, so do we really have the proper context to be bringing this up to the nation?
Yeah, which is the overall problem with Twitter.
He also dropped an N-bomb.
Okay.
With an A, but.
Oh, with an A? Well, that's better.
But I don't know. I don't know the circumstances.
I'm not trying to defend the guy.
It could be a lyric. You never know.
What does it say?
What's the full tweet? You can't even see it. Says, oh.
Oh, it says skinny N-word, big balls.
Come on. Can we all just agree that's funny?
It's got 70 retweets.
With no context.
70 retweets.
With no context, those four words are kind of funny together.
You know, I get 70 retweets about once every 3 months. What? 70 retweets?
But this might have been retweeted.
2011, he wasn't even in the big leagues.
Go throw a no-hitter and people start retweeting you.
Oh, you mean they're retweeting it today?
Probably, after this guy found it.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this...
It pops up while he's pitching the no-hitter, too. So he pitches the game of his life and goes to the post-game.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And that's all
he
wants.
Suffered more today than he has in a long, long time. The day he throws a no-hitter because somebody decides... What is this tattletale mentality?
It's the narc, man. Everyone wants to tell on everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunate.
Oh, that would suck. What do people care about more? Some stupid tweet by a teenager or, you know, the fact that this guy just almost threw a no-hitter and it was broken up with two strikes and two outs?
Do we know who is going up and digging up the tweets?
I don't know, but I want him to dig up the guy that broke up his no-hitter's tweets. Why don't they dig up his old tweets?
I'm kind of curious. Well, he's probably got some
bad
tweets,
too. He's
the
jerk of the day.
I'm just kind of curious as to why, it does seem that the media does go, oh, here's a story.
Well, that's exactly what
it becomes part of the story. Is this really fair to this guy? He threw the greatest game of his career, and it turns into, oh, he's a racist and a homophobe because of something 7 years ago. That as an 18-year-old, he tweets some really stupid things.
The first indication that I see of these tweets is from a Washington Nationals super fan. So,
oh, well, there you go.
Well, are people picking it up though? I mean, is this just something we read because we're on the internet all the time?
On the USA Today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It's out now. Boy.
It's just like Permit Patty, Barbecue Becky. You know, they're on Good Morning America, Today Show. Are these people really worthy of this kind of attention? Is that really necessary that they be nationally and internationally shamed?
I don't think Newcomb. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong, really. No, he didn't do anything wrong today.
I feel traumatized, bruh. And now I'm tweeting about you, bruh. And now you're trending, bruh. And now your life is ruined, bruh. And now you're fired, bruh.
Well, it is the kind of thing that can really, really derail someone's life. I mean, the lady in San Francisco who asked for the permit, which the woman didn't have, by the way, which she should have. And the other vendors supported her, but no one reported that. The report was just that story.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, she's terrible.
About the first one.
Well, and the lady that...
The 8-year-old permit.
And the people calling the cops, those people are stupid, too. Yeah. But do they deserve their lives ruined? I don't know. I just find this whole thing weird. Oh, my God. you read Anne Hathaway's...
No.
Last over the weekend?
No. What is,
she wants everyone to confront their white privilege.
Okay, done.
Because a white person killed a black person.
That's not what white privilege is.
Well, no, the white privilege is the fact that white people don't have to worry about being killed, she says.
That's not what it is, though. Well, anyway,
I can't really explain what white privilege does. I think Hathaway needs to relook at it. I think the whole concept is extremely flawed. And I don't know when the vote was held on this, but...
So white people, including me, including you, must take into the marrow of our privileged bones the truth that all black people fear for their lives daily in America and have done so for generations. We must ask our white selves, how decent are we really? not in our intent, but in our actions and our lack of action.
What have you done?
Does this mean that murders now, we're really only interested in murders of white people killing black people, and that's going to be the new thing? Along with Permit Patty, Barbecue Becky.
Oh, I don't think this seems like a strangely...
So. But a murder is terrible. I don't care who murders who. I think it's terrible. And I did this person kill the person because they were black? Is that what it was, or is she just upset?
This is the San Francisco BART murder.
Who is he? I don't even know who he is.
He did. He killed... I think he attacked two women and killed one of them.
John Lee Cowell?
They caught him, though.
Why? Did he kill her because she was black?
I don't know why he did. I don't know enough about the story.
He's a handsome guy.
I'm not sure why Anne Hathaway is so involved in this.
I'm more concerned about Twitter stock, considering Selma Blair left Twitter.
Oh, shit.
Did you see that?
Selma Blair left Twitter?
Yeah, she left Twitter. No. It's going to go downhill now.
What happened?
Over the guy, the director.
James Gunn.
Yeah, James Gunn. So she's leaving Twitter because of it.
In protest of his firing.
Oh, because she thinks he ought to be able to have jokes about child molestation?
Twitter has not been the same ever since Selma Blair left. I mean, its stock did go down, 14% on Friday?
I think it's really a good laugh as to some of these people that support the people who fuck up, and then you can find them bashing someone else doing the very same thing.
Well, I mean, did Selma Blair bash somebody? I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm sure someone will find it.
It's just really interesting that all these people will have supporters. You know, I go back to Al Franken and all the Saturday Night Live women who signed. He's so nice to me.
Mm.
Well, he didn't sexually assault you.
That's a little. Al Franken's a little different than James Gunn, though, too, isn't it? If he physically did put his hands on somebody.
Yeah, Franken fell into the Me Too. Gunn was more about stupid tweets. Yeah.
Well, they were really stupid tweets.
Have social media, that's for sure.
I don't know why he didn't erase his tweets. I think that was probably his biggest mistake. But he apologized for them.
Yeah. So didn't the pitcher for the Braves, Sean Newcomb. He already apologized. So we're done with it. Next story. That's what's so silly about it. The guy pitches an almost no-hitter. Someone finds these old tweets, and he apologizes. So, okay, next.
Sorry.
Who's the next athlete?
Well, leaving the world of athletics, I suppose, Les Moonves.
Oh, that's a major meeting.
CBS
too.
Head is in all kinds of hell. Has he resigned or anything yet?
No.
I don't think he will. Do you think the board's going to push him out? He's too good for the company.
I think he goes. This is too many women. It sounds to me like I don't know who to compare him to in the Me Too world.
He's already got defenders.
Who's defending
his wife.
That's okay, here we go. Who's defending him? His wife.
Julie
Chen?
Yeah, his wife.
Okay, who, by the way, got a job and people went, why are they hiring her to host that show?
I know. I kind of thought, oh, worked on her. That's why he kept doing it.
Well, it was an obvious nepotism hire. He married her.
You're saying the Me Too movement worked to nail that chick? Lock her down?
No, I mean, Les's moves worked because he got... Julie Chen.
Yeah. So he kept doing it. Isn't it kind of silly when the wife of the sexual assaulter defends him? Isn't that kind of silly?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah. I like Julie Chen, too.
Pretty hot.
She's okay.
We've interviewed her. She was great. She's nice. Really funny.
What does she host aside? Isn't she?
Big Brother and the Talk.
The Talk. Okay.
You know, when I saw that whole thing, though, it's like, oh, Julie Chen's marrying the head of CBS. She's hosting Big Brother. Oh, good for her.
That's why she has the two best
gigs. I'm sure she earned it. I'm sure she disguised herself for the audition, like Tori Spelling did for her dad.
She doesn't have to. She's got Moonves pumping away on her.
Exactly.
You can tell how much he means to the company when their stock plummets about 6% on the news. Because people figure he's gone.
I don't see how he survives this.
Turn CBS around.
Movie's private actions belies public statements. Six women who had professional dealings with him told Ronan Farrow that between the 1980s and the late aughts, Moonves sexually harassed them. Four described forcible touching or kissing during business meetings. Oh, during meetings.
Yeah, he went up the one girl's skirt. Allegedly.
What they said to be a practiced routine. Two told me Moonves physically intimidated them or threatened to derail their careers. All said that he became cold or hostile if they rejected his advances, except for Julie Chen, as they believed their careers suffered as a result. That's the part that really makes me sick.
What's
is that someone like this would assault someone or do something they don't want done. They reject them, which you could say, well, that's going to happen sometimes. Although... Les Moonves, being who he is, he should be a little smarter than that.
Well,
he's extremely powerful. These are people underlings.
That's the problem. They work
and,
for him.
And then the guys who then make their lives difficult because they turn them down, those, what assholes.
Yeah.
What absolute flaming asses they are.
These are the real problems, not the the tweets of the world that are a little insensitive.
What happened to me was a sexual assault, and then I was fired for not participating, Ileana Douglas told Ronan. All the women said,
believe
that,
me, she would not be my first choice, that I can
Donald,
tell.
Donald,
she probably wouldn't. All the women,
she's not bad, but you think less, because, you know.
Said they still feared speaking out would lead to retaliation from Moonves, who's known in the industry for his ability to make or break careers.
Ooh.
He's gotten away with it for decades, said a writer who alleges that she had to shove Moonves off her after he forcibly kissed her at a work meeting.
Gross. Well, there you go, work meeting.
30 current and former employees of CBS told me such behavior extended from Moonves to important parts of the corporation, including CBS News and 60 Minutes. During Moonves' tenure, men at CBS News who were accused of sexual misconduct were promoted, even as the company paid settlements to him with complaints.
Which we know because of the whole, and that's what stinks about Les Moonves, too.
This whole business
whole,
of,
what's his name, Charlie Rose.
Yeah.
And all those, the 60 Minutes things came out. Which it's really interesting because Les Moonves is quoted extensively after the Charlie Rose. He's on panels.
Oh, yeah. He's been a huge advocate for Me Too.
I know.
Some of these.
You fucking ruined me.
These settlements, by the way, are these settlements really working for people?
I said nothing.
Well.
I don't know. I mean, you wouldn't hear.
Because Les Moonves goes on. He write a check, and still got my gig.
It works for whoever we don't know about yet, which Ronan Farrow was being interviewed by GMA either Friday or Saturday morning, and somebody asked him about it, and he goes, oh, let's just say it's as a reporter, I've been contacted about plenty of different guys.
How about that?
That's the other thing,
plenty of different guys in CBS. CBS sounds like a cesspool.
Just
from...
Sounds like you've been contacted.
People we've heard about. Charlie Rose was unconscionable. That was incredible.
Well, isn't Katie Couric in that story talking
Katie
about
Couric
how bad
says,
it was?
Yeah, there was an environment that was not.
Yeah, but so did her old stomping around the Today Show. That's what's interesting about it. Did she ever say anything about Lauer?
Well, you know, that also is interesting. Matt Lauer
was
nice to her.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not someone he wanted to sexually assault, apparently.
Of course.
She wasn't hot enough for him. Or he respected her. I don't know what. But, you know, it's real easy for somebody who isn't assaulted by someone to say, well, he never sexually assaulted me. Well, guys don't sexually assault every woman in their orbit.
Yeah.
It's not like Stevie Nicks who fucks everyone
in her
orbit.
That's
unusual.
It's a power thing anyway. What kind of power would Lauer have over Couric? Plus, he saw inside her butt.
So here we go. Moonves,
like everybody else did.
Moonves' statement. Throughout my time at CBS, we've promoted a culture of respect and opportunity for all employees. Well, really? And have consistently found success elevating women to top executive positions across our company.
I fire people all the time.
I recognize there were times decades ago when I may have made some women uncomfortable by making advances.
Oh, wow.
I think that's going to be an understatement. Decades ago. This sounds like Harvey Weinstein, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, how ironic, since same reporter, Ronan Farrow.
Those are mistakes, and I regret them immensely, but I always understood and respected and abided by the principle that no means no, and I've never misused my position to harm or hinder anyone's career.
I deserve to be blown first!
This is a time when we are all appropriately focused on how we help improve our society, and we at CBS are committed to being part of the solution.
Oh, Lord.
According to CBS,
thought you stinks.
This is the line that makes me mad when they say this. According to CBS, there have been no misconduct claims, no settlements against Moonves.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that means that he didn't do anything because no one went to HR and there's
no
record of it.
That's what they do. That's what people that are worried about losing their job do.
I need a woman!
A statement from the company said, CBS is very mindful of all. CBS is very mindful of all.
I've decided that Mel Gibson is less his inner monologue.
Stop being that!
We take each report of misconduct very seriously. We did not believe, however, that the picture of our company created in The New Yorker represents a larger organization that does its best to treat its tens of thousands of employees with dignity and respect. We are seeing vigorous discourse in our company about equality, inclusion, and safety in the workplace, and CBS is committed to being part of the solution to those issues.
So that seems
to suck my cock!
Part of the solution is the key. We're going to hear that a lot, I predict, out of CBS in the days to come.
Not part of the solution, part of the problem.
CBS is engaged in increasingly acrimonious fight with its former parent company, Viacom, which CBS acquired and spun off. Whatever. anything to do with it. Ileana Dugzada received an Emmy nomination for a role in 6 Feet Under, was introduced to movies in 1996. At the time, she was meeting with networks looking for a deal to write and perform for TV. Moonves seemed to take a personal interest in her.
Yeah.
Told Douglas he was a fan of her performance in the Scorsese film Cape Fear and Goodfellas.
Ooh.
Urged her to work with CBS. There was the big sell. He was telling me, you're going to get a house with a pool. You're going to love it. It's a great life.
You look like a fucking bitch on heat.
She doesn't even make sense. You look like a bitch on heat.
I know. Well, that's his inner monologue.
She agreed to sign a holding deal with CBS, which promised to pay her $300,000 to appear exclusively in the network's programs. CBS didn't proceed with a pilot to Douglas wrote. But network cast her in a comedy called Queens as an eccentric native of the New York Brew. Whatever. In March 97, shortly before production, Moonves called Douglas's manager and told her that he was concerned about Douglas's attitude during reading with a co-star, Penelope Ann Miller. Prophet relayed the concern to Douglas, who was surprised and confused. The reading in front of a group of CBS executives had elicited uproarious laughter. Moonves had taken her by the shoulders and congratulated her, told Prophet he wanted to meet with Douglas alone to ensure that they were creatively aligned. By then, Douglas had worked closely with Moonves for months. He seemed more than just my boss. He was much like a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boy. More like
a
Papa John Papa John father figure.
Ugh.
When Douglas met with Moonves at his office, she began to raise concerns about the Queen script, a movie she called Cut Her Off. He interrupted me to ask me if I'm single. Douglas's nearly decade-long relationship with Scorsese was coming to an end and was caught off guard.
What?
I didn't know what to say. I was like, single, yes.
Ileana Douglas dated Scorsese?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea.
I'm single, yes, no, maybe. But she began talking about the script. Moonves interjected, asking to kiss her. According to Douglas,
he said, I kiss you.
They didn't have to tell her manager. It'll just be between you and me. Come on, you're...
I want to kiss you.
You're not some nouveau virgin.
Ew.
Gross. Ew. As Douglas attempted to turn the focus back to work, Moonves grabbed her. In a millisecond, he's got one arm...
You have one more chance!
He's got one arm over me, pinning me, she said. Moonves is violently kissing her. Gross.
I want to see her description of violently kissing. It sounds disgusting.
Holding her down on the couch with her arms above her head. What it feels like to have someone hold you down. You can't breathe. You can't move. The physicality of it was horrendous.
You don't care.
No. She recalls lying limp and unresponsive beneath him. You sort of black out.
Oh,
you think,
God.
How long is this going to go on? I was just looking at this nice picture of his family and his kids. I couldn't get him off me. So it was only when Moonves aroused, pulled up her skirt, and began to thrust against her that the fear overcame her paralysis. She told herself she had to do something. At that point, you're a trapped animal. Your life is flashing before your eyes. Moonves, in what Douglas assumed was an effort to be seductive, paused and said, so what do you think?
Oh, gross.
Douglas told me, my decision was to get out of it by joking my way out so he feels flattered. Thinking that reminding Moonves that he was her boss might discourage him, she said, yes, for the head of the network, you're some good kisser.
For head of the net would probably turn him on.
Moonves frowned and got up. She scrambled to find her briefcase. Well, this has been great. Thanks, she recalled, moving toward the door. I got to go now. Moonves followed her to a door and blocked her path. Ooh, this is very Weinstein-esque.
Yeah.
Crawl back, suck my cock, and say you're sorry in that order.
In that order. He backed her up to the wall, pressing against her with his face close to hers.
Holy shit.
It was physically scary. He said, we're going to keep this between you and me, right? Attempting to put him off with a joke, she said, no, sir, we won't tell anyone that you're a good kisser. Moonves released her and without looking at her, walked away. It was so invasive, she said. It has stayed with me the rest of my career, that tear.
I will never forgive you!
She began to cry. My skirt is all twisted. I'm standing in the hall and I thought of his family. Moonves' assistant sitting nearby asked her whether her parking needed to be validated. Doug said, I remember thinking, does she know? Does this happen all the time? In her car, I lost it. I felt sick.
I don't think you wouldn't think she would know. The assistant?
Maybe it happens all the time. I don't know. Douglas worked up the nerve to tell her manager.
Oh, wow.
Prophet said she just got off the phone with Moonves. He said that he and Douglas had a great meeting and had a lot of fun. Douglas told me, I thought, oh, my God, he's covered his tracks. In that moment, she said, I decided to just bury it. Later that day, she returned to the house she was renting and told a friend who was staying with the actor, Craig Chester. She was trying not to cry, but her voice was shaking. I've never seen her that emotional before, Chester recalled. She said that he got on top of her, held her down. She couldn't get away. If it was any other situation outside of business, I would have said, let's go to the cops. But Chester said there was no talk about going to the police or anything like that because it was obvious it would be career suicide.
Wow.
Who cares?
Following week, Moonves showed up for the first day of rehearsals. As soon as I saw him, I thought it was going to collapse. Everything came back. I was shaking. She felt Moonves' demeanor was intended to intimidate her. He was eyeing me warily. Her distress was evident. There was obviously something going on with her emotionally, Penelope Ann Miller told me. When she came in to test, everything was on. Then after the set, it was like she wasn't there. Last year, Douglas told Miller what had happened. Telling her story, it all made sense, Miller said.
Wow.
After the second rehearsal, Moonves took Douglas aside. What the fuck do you think you're doing out there? You're not even trying. Douglas recalled Moonves saying she took it as a reference to her failure to comply with his advances to maintain her composure afterwards. Douglas told me she had played by all the rules. I didn't say anything, and now he's berating me.
You make me want to smoke.
Several days into rehearsals, Moonves called Douglas at home. It was, you know, you make me fucking sick. You are not funny. Moonves told her that she wouldn't get a fucking dime of the money she was owed and that she would never work at this network again.
You offend me on every fucking level.
CBS says Moonves...
Do you wonder, has he ever done that to, like, a guy that he didn't allegedly assault? I mean, to call somebody?
No, I doubt it.
Hasn't he had the reputation of being kind of a hothead, though?
I don't know.
Top of the network?
I honestly don't know.
I don't, you know, I just, my...
It's incredibly successful.
My main reference point with Les Moonves is all the jokes Letterman used to make about him.
That's right.
Yeah, my main reference
joking about him.
Is the Stern Show with how he's had kind of a beef with Howard Stern.
What's his beef with Howard?
Moonves sued him for $500 million when he left CBS. And so that started this whole war between the two where Stern went on kind of a tour of some late night shows wearing a shirt that said, I hate Les Moonves. And they got into it here and there. He had Julie Chen on the show and just kind of ripped her a new one.
Oh, boy.
Moonves acknowledges trying to kiss Douglas, but says he denies any characterization of sexual assault, intimidation, or retaliatory action, including berating her on set and personally firing her.
Isn't that wrong enough, though, if you're kissing somebody there for a meeting?
Well, somebody you're paying a lot of money to.
Who cares?
How did he describe it? Was it described as violently or light kissing?
No, he just said he tried to kiss her.
Oh.
He didn't say
he didn't even complete the kiss.
Prophet called Ileana Douglas and said, I'd burned all my bridges at CBS that he was firing me. Prophet recalled firing Douglas and said that the two had a heated exchange, said that she didn't know about Douglas's allegations and denied the comment about burning bridges. There are no bridges at CBS. There's just Les Moonves. Douglas said her agent, who was then a creative artist, later called to say the agency wished her well in future endeavors of her own. I love the way CAA fired me, she said. They never told me I was fired. They just kept wishing me the best of luck.
God, what a business.
Oh, you're all angry now.
Douglas called Scorsese, told him the story, saying she wanted to hire a lawyer and sue Moonves. Scorsese said he remembers Douglas calling about the allegations and being shocked. Scorsese urged her to be cautious about taking legal action against such a powerful person, but agreed to refer her to his law firm.
Man, isn't this amazing that Ronan Farrow got comment from him?
Yeah.
And all
what Scorsese have to lose? Why would he not back her up?
It's just, it's a lot different. So the other one that was in the news recently was Chris Hardwick and how he got his job back, and people are mad because AMC's investigation and even talk to that girl, which, whatever.
Well, they should have talked
to her. But it's interesting because hers is just an allegation that she throws up on social media. Here's Ronan Farrow actually doing in-depth reporting and talking to people.
Ronan Farrow's father was a womanizer.
I would say...
Biological.
Both of them.
Martin Scorsese's words are probably very worth paying heed to. He urged her to be cautious about taking action due to her future career. I believed Ileana. What happened to her was reprehensible. Douglas said Sobel warned her it was a matter of her word against Moonves. Sobel said that he had a frank conversation with Douglas about the risks of suing, ultimately called CBS to attempt to recoup some of her lost wages. She received a $50 advance payment for her appearance in the Queen's pilot, but felt she was owed the remaining $250. After junior staff member at CBS Business Affairs told Sobel that Douglas had been fired because of her poor performance and the network intended to withhold her pay, Sobel suggested he ask Moonves about the meeting he had alone with Douglas. My conversation was simply, hey, ask Les what happened in the room. He'll probably want you to do the right thing here. I felt he knew what I was saying. According to communications and contracts reviewed by the New Yorker, the head of CBS Business Affairs rather than the junior staffer replied to Sobel with a new proposition. When the head of the whole thing called me back, it was very clear to me they took my comments about what happened in the room very seriously. CBS proposed the agreement be settled out for $125,000, and then agreed to pay Douglas an additional $250,000 to appear in a new miniseries.
$10,000.
They saw this as a cover for a settlement. She didn't even know what the show was about. I go from being sexually assaulted, fired for not having sex with Les Moonves, fired by everyone, to we're going to pay you in full.
Wow.
We also want you to be in this miniseries.
Well, he clearly was worried about her.
Douglas received a call from Moonves. So you're going to do the mini, she remembered him asking. Although she wanted accountability, she was still frightened and said she would do it. She called Moonves sounding upbeat, remarking, tits and guns, baby, tits and guns. Ha, 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 ha. That's so funny.
Oh, boy. Stupid.
She later in the miniseries called Bella Mafia focused on the women of an Italian crime family, emphasized sex and violence. Movies asked Douglas if they were okay, and Douglas said, yes, sir.
Huh.
Statement CBS said about the agreement about Bella Mafia was intended to fulfill her overall deal with the network, unrelated to her meeting with Moonviz. There were no funds added for settlement purposes. The amount paid was half of what she was owed, which is not what one might do if it was concerned about a claim such as this. Oh, okay. Well, she told numerous people about the incident, even published a lightly fictionalized version. She appeared in Bella Mafia. She believes the incident derailed any future career I would have had at CBS. In two instances, years later, personal connections helped her secure acting roles on shows that aired on the network and a web series of hers appearing on a CBS streaming service. Oh, whatever. Otherwise, in a career that's excluded extensive work with every other major network, she said, I never auditioned or ever had any kind of television show deal at CBS.
God, she looks so familiar, and I know I've seen her places, been in a ton of things. I don't really, there's not like a role that stands out for
me. Goodfellas is the big one. She was the friend of, what is her name? Dr. Melfi in The Sopranos. The hell's the actress's name?
Okay, she was Rosie.
It was her. I can't think of her name.
Oh God, she's in Rocky. She was in Rocky.
She was in Rocky.
Rocky. I'm sorry. She was in. Dr. Melfi in Sopranos, and she was Ray Liotta's wife in Goodfellas.
I can't think of that lady's name, but she was her friend.
Lorraine Bracco.
She's Bracco's friend.
Okay.
This writer says he came around the corner of the table and threw himself on top of me. It was very fast. He began trying to kiss her. Joan said she struggled and then shoved Moonves away, yelling, what do you think you're doing? Moonves appeared startled, got up. Well, I was hitting on you. I wanted to kiss.
Who is this person?
The writer, Jones is her name.
Hey, Jones.
Janet Jones.
Oh.
Not Wayne Gretzky's Janet Jones, I don't think.
No!
He said, oh, come on, it's nothing. Calm down, don't be so excited. When Jones got to the door, it was locked. She was terrified. If you don't open this door, I'm going to scream so loud and so long, everyone in the lot is going to come over. She removed his walking to his desk into a nearby bureau to unlock the door rather than doing so directly. She fled, noticing on her way out the assistant had left. That's when I got really upset. I just thought, oh, my God, this wasn't like a momentary boo-boo. It was like a well-thought-out thing. Jones drove to the house of a friend. There Jones said to her friend, I was completely... Oh, I just completely melted down, just crying and shaking. Linda Sagan told me that she remembers the visit clearly. Jones described the incident in detail. She was very upset. I'd never seen her like that. I was astounded by what she told me. I knew how powerful he was. Jones also told her boyfriend at the time, Larry Jackson, who said she came home one day scared and in tears because she said Les had jumped her at a business meeting.
God damn.
Oh, he's done.
Larry!
He's done.
And the other girl, Christine Peters, that's the one he's like, this is really great, and then just stuck his hand in her skirt.
Hmm.
What an ass.
We agreed nothing.
What a dope.
Yep.
No, I mean, he's fought it over the weekend so far, but I can't
good
see.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, by the end of the week, he's probably Bye-bye. Gone.
Did you see Sharon Osbourne trying to claim that this came out today or over the weekend because of the lawsuit between Viacom and CBS and the Redstones?
Yeah, they're trying to blame it on Sumner's daughter.
Who cares? If it happened, it happened.
It doesn't matter when it comes out.
Well, it's going to lower the stock.
What is Sharon Osbourne's point?
She's on The View or The Talk with Julie Chen.
Yeah. Oh, okay. How stupid. Shut up.
Transparent, though.
It either happened or didn't happen. If Sharon Osbourne reads this and she thinks anything other than this is really bad, and he's a creep.
It's a well-resourced article.
Julie Chen, I'm embarrassed for her.
Yeah.
What does Julie Chen just think? These people make this up, that they get 30 women? Because there's supposedly over 30 women who can speak to this.
Oof.
She's apparently the only one that responded and made out with them. She wanted a job really bad.
Violent. Well, that's kind of what I thought when I heard the story.
What was Julie Chen doing before she hosted Big Brother?
I want to say she was a news anchor on a CBS station. I mean, there was only way we could find out.
You want to dive?
That's Connie Chung. Racist.
Oh, same thing. No, I think she was a...
So she goes from local TV to hosting.
I don't know if it was local. When did they get together?
2004.
Well,
it was very close to when she took over Big Brother, wasn't it?
Oh, she was already on Big Brother. Since 2000, she did Big Brother.
Yeah, but when?
She was the anchor of CBS Morning News.
Yeah, WDTN from 95 to 97.
WDTN. She was also on WCBS.
Well, her job seems to be pretty safe for some reason. It's crazy.
Good for her.
She's okay. I mean, I don't really have a problem with her.
I like her.
Deal
with Moonves.
Yeah. Leslie Moonves.
Visually, they just make
parents
a lovely
couple. Give you
couple.
A girly name to toughen you up. I like it.
When people come to the Aldo Eye Center to get a free evaluation for custom LASIK or the incredible multifocal lens implants, they're asked how they heard of it. Many say a year ago on TV or 6 months ago or this, that radio station. Eye surgery is a tough decision. We know a benefit. We've heard testimony about life-changing, what a life-changing revelation it is. It's how you free yourself from glasses, contacts, and reading glasses. See better without the ancient technologies than you ever did before. Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's premier eye surgeon. He's done over 30,000 LASIK, 10,000 cataract and lens replacement procedures. Should I go see him? The sooner you go, the more you save.
What's up, Doc?
The less you have to worry about this. The more you benefit financially from it, too, because you can immediately stop paying for glasses and appointments and contacts and all that crap. With state-of-the-art custom LASIK and multifocal lens replacement for people 50-plus, over 95% walk out of Dr. Yaldo's office with better than 20/20 vision. No need for reading glasses. So you can wait a year, do yourself a favor, and call today, 800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com, and, of course, ask for the exclusive Drew and Mike discount.
Did you talk to your sister?
I didn't. I know she had a good appointment.
I did. I was here when she got back.
Come on, Patty.
I think she's pumped to get it done.
I think she is. Somebody was there, too, who had gotten it done.
That's right.
Was very happy. He was at his three-month checkout.
Oh, Patty. Oh, Patty.
Man. Thanks a lot.
Listen to him snicker. As if that was an accident.
I clicked the wrong one.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think she was very happy. I think she's very excited.
Oh, man.
To kiss these ancient technologies goodbye.
How was Denver?
Denver was great. Yeah. I tweeted I was not even at my friend's
Denver
house.
Denver sucks ass.
I was not even at my friend's house from the airport when we were stopping at a dispensary for some reason.
Oh, wow.
A converted McDonald's.
Cool.
And you know what was crap? I actually wanted to complain to the manager because you have to show your IDs.
Complain to the manager of a dispensary?
Yeah, I did. You have to show your ID, and then you stand behind this locked door. Then they open the door. Then you're in this long line waiting. I swear to God, I was waiting for 10 minutes. And then these people got let go from the, they had the velvet rope.
Really?
Yeah, and somebody has to be with you, and it's really weird.
What?
Well, they only let certain amount of people in the showroom at a time.
The showroom?
That's what
Why?
It's considered. Because if you have a whole bunch of people, you have the risk of somebody taking something. I'm not sure.
Like any other business?
I don't know. You're really treated like kind of I felt like I was doing something wrong or something evil or...
Well, there's a lot of...
Don't act like you don't know about drugs when you do.
There's a lot of cash on hand at those places because they can't put it in a bank. It's federally illegal.
Can they... So they can't... Wait,
they can't take credit cards?
Why can't they take credit cards?
Because most banks are under federal rules and it's illegal.
Right.
The feds say it's illegal.
Well, so how dumb is this? Why are we still
having
all this foolishness over this? Yeah. By the way, the taxes on it were 24%.
Wow.
24%.
And the state is raking it.
Oh, they're raking in the dough. No, and any state that isn't doing this is just
dumb.
Losing money.
Yeah.
And Michigan, I would imagine it'll change in November, although we'll see.
I don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
Sounds like it's very close. Why would someone vote against this, by the way?
Because you don't understand it, or you don't like drugs.
Or you consider it a gateway.
A gateway?
Well, what's alcohol? Is alcohol so
totally
okay?
Cool.
What's
no,
so okay
they
about
don't,
alcohol?
Maybe they don't like that either, but that horse is so left the barn.
Yeah, but so's the pot horse.
No, I know, but they don't know that.
Anyway, for some reason, we were at the dispensary three times. I don't know why. Different dispensaries. And then mixed in there somewhere was a Rockies game, which was great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You see a lot of home runs? Because that park is known for them.
Nolan Arenado took one out.
Oh, man.
On Friday night. They won 3-1. God, that's a great lineup, by the way. See the stats on the board. I
Charlie
wasn't aware
Blackman,
they had that many guys with 20.
Trevor Story.
Yeah, they got a lot of guys with 20 bombs.
Who'd they play?
The A's.
Oh.
And they won today and yesterday, too. Rockies are, they got a, that's a powerful team.
Right. Offensively.
I was checking Arenado, by the way, home versus away.
Yeah.
606 slugging at home, 476 on the road.
Well, that's the thing. It's very hard to be a pitcher in that ballpark because of the air. And so a lot of times there's just home run after home run after home run.
That's a lot of homers.
And there's, it's just, it gets ridiculous at times for the pitchers.
Yeah. I would assume it'd be tough. We went to Red Rocks too.
Oh, who'd you see?
Oh, well, no, he's performing. We were just in the area, and it's like, oh, let's go by Red Rocks. So I tried to get down by the actual venue and walk through, like, three trespassing signs. Johnny and I did, and we were reprimanded.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're trespassing right now. It's a $199 fine. I said, well, I just want to get a picture of the venue. Well, you can't. You walked through three trespass. I mean, the guy was obsessed with the fact that we walked through a trespassing
sign. Did you say, well, if you're doing your job, you would have gotten me after the first trespass?
Well, there was
sign.
A guy right at the sign. Bridge. Who sure didn't seem to care.
Well, just say, that guy didn't care. And then just keep walking.
They were performing sound check, too, which would have been, of course, unconscionable. I'd seen Tedeschi sound checking.
Who?
Susan Tedeschi, I think her name is.
Never heard of her.
I think she's an offspring of one of the Allman Brothers. Does
cool.
she play with Derek Trucks' kid?
No idea.
I don't know either. Whatever.
Good for her.
It would have meant nothing.
God forbid you two guys see it.
The Derek Trucks Band.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
But the weather was great out there. It was really nice.
Yeah.
Cooler at night. It was about mid-70s. I love Colorado in the summer. I've been there three times, and people go, why don't you go in the winter?
How was your vacation?
I don't ski. So, but summers are really nice. I mean, like whitewater rafting or.
Never been to Colorado.
I want to go to Aspen.
It was really nice. It's cool. God, that is so clean there. That's the first thing I noticed, like being downtown and being in. We went to Boulder too.
Oh.
Saturday afternoon or Friday afternoon. It just seemed, I don't know. It's, I
did
felt
you go
like
by the.
Universe.
What's her name? I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. The girl who disappeared. The hell's her name?
Jean-Benet?
Oh, Jean-Benet.
You go by the Jean-Benet
no,
house?
No, I didn't. I didn't
what?
Think about
it's
it.
It's right up your alley.
Jean-Benet is, you know, it's funny. I see Jean-Benet. She's still on the cover of the Globe like every six editions, and I never read the story. I just, that story is so disturbing. They never got whoever it was.
Yeah.
Patsy died.
Well, no, it was Burke.
Patsy was blamed. Who?
Wasn't it Burke?
Oh, Burke. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, the brother?
Well, remember that CBS show had that big investigation.
He sued CBS
and won.
Did he win? What did he win?
I believe he won.
I felt like he should have won
millions.
I thought it was crap.
Burke.
I know.
Dude.
Patsy.
Is there something wrong with Burke?
Good question. But Patsy.
$750 million.
Patsy the pageant mom.
$750 million.
That's how much he got? Oh, they never paid him, though.
They
can you say slander?
Libel.
So what did Channel 4 do Friday night? I knew, you know, we shot that thing a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he did. I'm not just saying this because he did it. I just wouldn't say anything. He did a really good job editing it and shooting it. What's his name, Alex?
I've watched you on television. You're a real beauty.
All I know is I heard he's really good.
It was I thought they did a nice job.
I didn't see it, but.
And although I think afterwards someone took a swipe at podcasting
what?
In general. Yeah, I'm not
really
not happy oh, about boy. That at all.
This could get ugly.
But Jason Colthorpe, wait, that's not Jason Colthorpe.
Did they do many teases?
Yeah, they did one in the show. Trudy said she saw a promo.
Cool.
I did not see one on Dateline. You know what? I don't know if you have it.
Uh-oh. We can find it real quick.
What is this online you speak of, Kennedy?
Yeah, I thought I saw a couple people tweeted something.
It was Friday night.
Related.
Here we go. Is that the 27th?
I can get it right here. But I don't think you'll have the post banter.
Hey, there's Kennedy in the freeze.
Yeah, she got in the thumbnail.
Hey,
she's famous.
They know it sells. Here, I.
This is it.
If this is it.
Right there.
Right there? I thought it was 15.
Oh, was it?
Oh, we made it in the first half of the news?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Oh, there's Kennedy.
Julie was very upset that they showed your house.
They did?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Oh, now Drew's very upset.
Radio legend is back on the airwaves.
Legend.
You might remember Drew from his Drew and Mike days.
And now he's coming to you in an entirely new format. And photojournalist Alex Atwell shows us why his new gig is uniquely Detroit.
Are we ready?
Yep.
We're live on Facebook.
House Detroit looks nice. Always has something to talk about, whether it's Kwame or the rebirth of Detroit or, you know, the Pistons in 2004, the Red Wings in 97, 98. Wow, that was a great story. I mean, to be all over that every morning, you're the first guy that gets
why
to talk about
Why is
drawn
to Kennedy?
It. That's really
I know.
Cool.
They should just do it. Do you like the B-roll of the sign that says Fart Zone?
To call in and calling people out and getting great interviews. I mean, that's a lot of fun.
Hi, what's poppin', everybody? We're live in the Deals in the D.com studios.
Oh, good
plug, I'm Judy Daniels, and we are in Drew's basement.
My name is Drew, and we started a podcast in my basement. It's kind of a Wayne's World effect.
And Wayne's World, I think, describes it really well.
It's the Drew and Mike Show with Drew, Mark, Trudy.
Pirate radio, if you will. No FCC regulations, which we've run afoul of over time at WRAF. Total freedom. Drew and Mike podcast.
Never. Because it's since 2000, and since 2000, I think the well's a little dry, folks.
I was at Riff for 22 years.
What does that
you
mean?
Know, it's nice to be your own boss. You don't have to answer anybody. The other problem is that you find out that they did do stuff that you have to do now. So, you know, like run a business. So that part's really hard. But the part doing the show is total freedom. And no FCC, again, you know, there's literally complete freedom, internet radio.
Eminem's got a bunch of songs there. Eminem songs were some of the best ones I saw in there.
Yeah.
White Stripes.
They're way up there.
Drew is by far the smartest, funniest, easy radio person to work with because I think he makes people comfortable.
I like the, I guess, the imagination of it, the ability to paint pictures. The ability to paint pictures, that sounds so dramatic.
Working out of a basement. It's not that bad, is it?
I love it. You know, I mean, our microphones are top flight. The acoustics in here are great. It's the future of radio.
Hello?
Tony! Tony, it's the Drew and Mike Show.
We're only paying six people.
Who was that?
Six people.
Tony who?
Tony, I don't know. Tony
we
Z, maybe? No, it wasn't Tony
Z. 30,000 people listening, which was all based on our Riff past. And it grew. Word spreads on social media. Now we're over six figures. And so radio, you're sort of limited. This is like a rash. You know, it's like a, it could be hopefully a viral podcast. And it's doing really well right now, but I always want more. So we'll see.
Good luck with your podcast.
How about that? I didn't know anything about them. You knew them just from your teenage years.
But when they went to the podcast, I just assumed, you know, this is, you know, kind of where they go after it's all over.
Cole Thorpe, start listening.
Podcasting is really giving people a new outlet.
It really is.
And it's good to see them still doing their thing.
Very good.
Yeah.
Here's a look at what Sandra Eileen is working on.
Where's the cheap shot?
It's after they tease a story, which is very much like our story.
I see.
Oh, I didn't continue to watch.
What? You didn't want to hear about what was coming up tonight on Sunday?
Somebody had a pot shot minutes later?
Taken behind the woodshed.
A shot!
Here. It's coming out of this promo here.
Immediately, it felt like I finally had like a,
okay, good
a really big chosen family.
Good for you. Okay,
the story cool. Sunday at 11.
Time to talk weather. Do you have a podcast yet? Or are we getting you one?
I've got a job right now.
Right.
Now, when that goes away, come talk to me.
Just might happen.
He wasn't referring to us, was he?
Depending on what
Wait,
goes on.
Yeah, they were coming off the podcast thing.
We'll love you forever.
I don't think Bailey likes us.
I was like, wasn't that minutes later?
I mean, you have a job, Bailey. This is a job.
He probably wasn't even watching.
No, there's no way he was watching us. He would have known that you said how many people are paid.
I've watched you on television. You're a real beauty.
Hank retweeted the story and said some very nice things.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I don't think Ben takes a lot of shots at people.
I don't know. That was
I could
shot.
Be wrong. Maybe he's a shock weather guy.
I'd love to watch that guy speak.
No, that was really good. I hate seeing myself
so
on TV.
I
my bottom teeth
at least
need
you're
to
not
get
huge.
Done.
Gross. But you're not fat.
Well, that's, I guess, something to be proud of.
It was nice.
Yeah, it was good. No, they did. He did do a good job. He chopped it up nicely. Yeah. I still want to know who Tony is, though.
Who are we calling? Who do we talk to on that day?
I have no idea.
There's only a way I know.
It seems like a million years ago. It was probably 2 weeks ago.
I'll figure it out.
So, did you see Elton John being carried onto the beach?
No.
There's this thing. Yeah, there's this thing online of Elton John. He's at the beach, which is kind of funny. The Elton John just. He seems like the kind of person that would be beached on the beach.
Yeah.
Because he is really big. His husband and I think a couple of people are carrying him on the beach so he doesn't have to touch the hot sand. Did you see it?
Oh, that's great.
Doesn't
no,
that
I
want to
see it. That's awesome. That's the way it should be.
Look at him. He's got his legs up.
Oh boy.
Two buff dudes on either side.
How are the other people managing the sand?
Well, they didn't make Rocket Man. They don't have to. They got to walk through hot sand. Elton's already spilled enough blood.
Oh, hot.
Was he singing Tiny Dancer, you suppose?
He's got shoes on, too.
why are they carrying him then?
Oh, maybe he doesn't.
Oh, yeah. He's barefoot. Okay. Yeah, there's a barefoot.
Fake news. That's... I did like him. He was in that new Kingsman movie. Elton John was in that.
EJ?
Yeah, he was taken hostage by the bad guy. He was actually pretty good in it. Dropped some F-bombs. Wait,
he's playing a character, or is he playing Elton John?
He's playing Elton John kidnapped. And he's pissed
really?
Off. Yeah.
Well, he would be a bitch. He'd be a horrible person to kidnap.
Yeah. Let's see if there's a
I love him when he's bitchy. I think it's really funny. He had one famous diatribe on Tina Turner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she didn't want to rehearse, and I guess she was dragged out, and she fucked it up, and I think he went off on her.
And you know who Tony is? I just looked it up.
Tony.
It was not Tony who we were talking to.
Not Tony Z?
The guy with the fireworks. Remember the neighbor said
he's
going to blow up everything. So it was not Tony that we talked about. You're like, Tony, even though it was not Tony.
Oh, this is the wrong number.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty hilarious. That would be a good stupid. Snapshot of the show, calling a wrong number.
Yeah.
God damn it. Hey, I wasn't here that day.
Speaking of numbers, I finally have tracked down Bobbitt, and I wrote him... I found him on Facebook and wrote him a nice long thing, and he saw it about an hour and a half ago, and he hasn't replied. I'm very upset about it.
There's a story about him, and the
story is hilarious.
He's wearing a Trump hat.
Drew, you got to see John Wayne Bobbitt's Facebook. He'll freeze Trump on TV and then take a picture of him with like two thumbs up. He makes some quotes about Trump in there about how much he loves him, which
looks great.
To each his own.
Well, no, it just. I don't know. The idea that Bobbitt would really care who's president, that in and of itself is funny.
I wonder how many presidents he cares about in general or no can name.
Does he talk about Trump?
Yeah.
Oh,
the whole article's very.
He's such a nice guy.
Well, you know, the 25 year thing went by, and I was kind of surprised it was really not. There was just a couple people that sort of noticed it and did stories on it, but it wasn't a. I would have thought it'd be something to be everywhere. Like every national news would reference the 25 year anniversary. I mean, it was just the dumbest thing.
It was in mid June, and it just nobody mentioned it.
It was a monstrous story.
Look at this picture on his Facebook here. It's from February of 2017. It's John Wayne Bobbitt in a suit, which I don't think I've ever seen him in a suit with a Trump hat on, taking a picture with Newt Gingrich and his wife at a book signing. Well, at least John's reading books.
Is Newt at John's book signing or is John at Newt's book
John
signing?
John is at Newt's book signing. He would not wear a suit to his own book signing.
I love the headlines, too. It says re-membered.
Oh, Lord. Oh, that seems to be the one thing everybody's hooking on is the fact that he can have sex today. Oh, he talks about he had penis reduction surgery.
What?
You got to read that.
It was too big?
It was too big. How big do you think John said it was?
I'm going to say 9 inches. 11?
10 inches.
Are you more than 7 inches?
How did it get to 10 inches? It was not 10 inches in that movie.
He had penis enlargement surgery.
There's no such thing. There's penis fattening surgery, but not
reduction.
Enlargement. You know, he had the ligament cut.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And then he had it reattached, I guess. John.
Oh, boy. Well, let's see. John Wayne Bobbitt wants you to know this. He's a good man in a crisis. It's my military training. Never leave you.
Easily distracted.
What
John?
If they did quote him word for word?
That would
be interesting. Bob it.
There'd be a lot of
It certainly came to his aid in that terrible night 25 years ago this summer when he woke to find his wife Lorena sawing off his manhood with an 8-inch carving knife. Bobbitt is, you know, how incredible it is that. It was reattached. She left the house with it. She drove away and threw it out the window.
Mm-hmm. And they all found it. They had a search party for it.
Bobbitt is still inevitably remembered for the events of that night, which made headlines around the world. That was a monstrous story.
Yeah.
Why was that such a big... I guess because it was reattached.
Yeah, the penis as well.
Yeah, and it was cut off. I don't think there were... It seems like we hear a lot of stories like that now.
Yeah, usually out of China.
Every 6 months or so. Yeah, true. At first, the horror and pain sent him into deep shock. I just wanted to lie back and go to sleep. who would lie back and go to sleep? First of all,
John would.
I could not go to sleep.
Without your penis?
There's no way. No, first of all, I think I'd be afraid I was going to bleed to death. Second, I'll be going, oh my God, I have no dick the rest of my life.
He was so tired, though.
But then his first aid drills kicked in. Instantaneous response actions. Life-saving. Apply pressure, he barks. Shortly, I've never heard this side of the story.
You gonna take that dip?
Throw it out the window.
Shortly after he got to his local hospital, police found the missing 2/3 of his penis. By the way, I've seen what they found. If that was 2/3, he was never 11 inches.
Flaccid.
There's no way.
Right, right. The picture that was famous in the case.
It looks
the
so,
court, courtroom.
It looks so deflated, too. It just doesn't look good.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It looks like God,
it's an unflattering
hurts.
Picture.
It looks like a thumb.
It hurts. Yeah,
that's, or a big toe.
If that's 2/3 of it, first of all, could they fluff that for him?
Who's that guy holding it? It looks like he could be your relative, Drew.
He does. Shouldn't they have fluffed that for the picture?
His name is Dr. John T. Sane.
He's the guy that reattached it. Bobbitt's reattachment doctor is slightly separate at birth with you.
Oh, and there's a picture of his scrotum and the other side. I've never seen that picture.
Oh, is that the stub?
Yes.
Yeah. Ew.
Oh, I can't look.
Wow, that's the greatest surgeon ever.
Yeah, he definitely deserves a Nobel Peace Prize or something.
Although he brought us John Wayne Bobbitt.
He did, yeah. He did create a monster.
He's quoted in this story, and his quote is hilarious.
She had called the police after realizing what she'd done, which led to an exhaustive search. A miraculous 9-hour operation, urological surgeon Jim Sen and his team successfully reattached the organ. He was the most calm guy I've ever met in my life, said the doctor, recalling the moment. What is Bobbitt? So, in other words, Bobbitt being calm made the surgery go better,
yeah,
really? He was awake?
He wouldn't wiggle around.
Calling the moment he met Bobbitt in the emergency room, he high-fived me. What? What? Who would high-five their surgeon who's about to reattach their
high
penis?
Five.
Bobbitt would. When I first read that, he was the most amazing calm. I thought that was going to be Bobbitt talking about the doctor, not the doctor talking about his patient.
I really
give you a high five.
This is, to me, the final insult. I think the high five needs to be stamped out. The high five's over.
Oh, I love the high five.
It's been over forever.
Then set an age limit on it because kids get off on it.
High five!
Stop teaching kids high fives. Isn't that boring? How many kids have you met that want a high
five?
You want
to teach them a fist bump?
Well, yeah.
Anything. Something else.
It's the first thing you teach your child, you know?
Dude, don't teach your kid the high five, Brandon. Break the trend.
Fist bump, just like Obama's fist bump.
Fist bump, yeah, that'd be cool. Do the best you can for me, Doc, after you high-fived him. The aftermath was equally traumatic. Bobbitt was warned quite bluntly his member could quite possibly turn black and fall off in the days following the operation.
Maybe thought that if it was black, it'd be bigger.
They could have psychologically, if not physically, felled lesser men, but not John.
Nope.
Oh, come on, you must have been traumatized to say, nope. He believes he was lucky because he was young, fit, and fresh out of the military. I mean, United States Marine, and we are different. We are highly trained to fight, and we are prepared to do the worst thing a person can go through. So I was ready. He acts like he's in a war.
Yeah.
His wife
cut his
penis off because he was physical with her. I don't think that's really comparable to being a Marine, is it? Do the Marines really want that?
It's all about, under pressure, how you react.
If I was anybody else, some white-collar guy, some banker, some other guy not so well-trained, it would have been a different story. What?
You lost me, John.
Would have been a lot more tragic. They probably would have killed themselves, you know? But I'm a survivor. Is he really? Can he, for example, survive the reawakened interest in his case? He hates publicity. We know that.
They did quote his, you know. Well, I'm starting to think he does hate publicity. Won't write me back.
He's taking part in an investigation about the case by ABC's 2020 News while Amazon is producing a four-part documentary.
That's a hit piece,
What we didn't, once again, left out.
Yeah, because they knew we liked John.
The initial call.
Yeah, once they knew we had a relationship with John, they scrapped it because it's more about Lorena.
In it, Bobbitt's former wife, Lorena Gallo, will tell her truth in a critical discourse. We've heard her story. She was a court case. Oh, yeah. Lorena always claimed that she attacked John because he came home drunk and raped her, while he insists it was an act of vengeance because he was leaving her. She says their dysfunctional 6-year marriage was riddled with instances of bullying and abuse. He says that she was using him to chase her American dream and couldn't bear to let him go. Basically, she said, if I can't have his penis, then no one will. She didn't want me to be with another woman. If I was going to leave her, abandon her, or get divorced, then there would be consequences. In the end, both Bobbitts were acquitted of all charges.
So why did she really do it, besides being utterly insane? Do you you don't believe the rape story?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I really have no idea. John has been physical with women since then.
Yeah.
So I find that somewhat believable. So it's going to be difficult for Lorraine to make any specific allegations about her ex-husband without defaming him. Bobbitt has promised to sue her for unlawful intent, if she does. He's already been grumbling about the tone of some of the interviews. I don't like the questions they asked me all about Lorraine crying and everything.
He's remorseful. Listen to that remorse.
About Lorraine crying and everything.
And everything.
So what about Lorraine crying and everything?
I wanted it to be about him.
I want to hear that question. Well, it kind of is about him. I mean,
he's the subject.
I mean, a four-part documentary of the girl, like, cut it off? Shouldn't the four-part documentary be about the man
whose penis
was off his body for, like, 12 hours?
Yes. But John would be hard to get four parts of a documentary out of.
Hard.
That would be a lot of work. The impulse by some to recast Lorraine as the victim has proved irresistible. There should be a Me Too movement for men because the law is biased towards women, says Bobbitt. We could all stand up and say, Me Too! I went through that. My girlfriend did this. My fiance poisoned me. Wife cut my penis off because I filed for divorce. I mean, what? Me Too. Let the men do it.
How many guys had their penises cut off?
I know, like, Bobbitt thinks it happens all the time. Boy, that's a kind of cute picture of her. She's all yours. I don't want her. I'm just saying she could look cute.
Well, John was a good-looking guy.
Don't stand up for women because you're a woman. Why stand up for an evil woman? If a woman is evil and she's bad and nasty, why stand up for her?
That's good logic, Bobbitt.
Anyway, I'm not that worried about being victimized again. I can handle that. I can conquer the world. When's he going to start conquering the world?
Soon.
Does that mean he's back in touch with Drew?
Who's that?
Is Drew mentioned in the article?
He hasn't seen him at the gas station. He hasn't been to the gas station.
There's got to be a conversation about his recent meeting with Drew.
Do you think he ever went back to the gas station where he ran into his son? Or did he purposely avoid it because he didn't want to run into him again?
Hard to say. I would say it would be a total accident if he went there or ran into his son. I don't think he would avoid him or attempt to meet with him. I think all things are just happenstance with John. Today, Bobbitt lives in a rented house in North Las Vegas. Why is he in Las Vegas?
I don't know.
That's a terrible place for him. He had a horrible time there.
It looks like he's still a limo driver there.
Oh, my God.
I thought he had a terrible...
He cannot be a limo driver.
Yeah. Should we call Jeffrey Felix? Maybe he knows about it.
I have a possible Lorena number.
What, really?
Yeah.
What percentage?
I don't know. It seems like she's started a foundation.
Women that cut off guys' dicks.
Take your time, Lorena.
It's gender for the justice initiative or something like that.
Well, once again, wouldn't you rather talk to the guy that had his penis cut off?
Of course. Yeah, his penis was off him, and he's alive and talking with us, and it's back on him. Girlfriend Joni. Oh, boy. Is Joni on his Facebook page?
I can't find Joni, no.
Really?
I'll try again.
She sells dresses, and she's a regular visitor. He has a Jeep and a Harley-Davidson motorbike and a three-car... Why does he have a three-car garage?
It's rented.
But why would he rent a house with a three-car garage?
In case he wants to get another car. Because Joni needs a place to park.
He's paying probably $200 a month extra for the three-car garage. Both with... let's see. Oh, wait. He has a Jeep and a Harley-Davidson motorbike and his three-car garage. Both with number plates that pay tribute to President Trump. I get a lot of negative comments about them, but hell, I love that guy. Bobbitt has money in the bank, but lives mostly on disability payments after breaking his neck in a car accident. Wait, you get disability for being in a car accident?
I don't remember that.
You on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
John Bobbitt on disability. Something about that just doesn't feel, I don't know. Really,
I think it seems perfect.
No, I think it makes sense. Yeah. I believe it 100%, but something doesn't sit well with me about that. He also suffers from osteomyelitis and a bone infection that gives him ulcers and necessitates painful skin. Has anyone checked on the meaning of that term, osteomyelitis? Did he spell it right?
Assalamu alaikum, Maida.
Spell it.
Can you look up OSTEOM? Y-E-L-I-T-I-S. I'm just wondering if they took his word for what it does, a bone infection that gives him ulcers?
Yeah.
And necessitates painful skin grafts.
Yeah. Generally in the legs, arm, or the spine.
Swelling and pain and redness.
That picture's disgusting.
He thinks he caught it when stationed with the Marines at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina in 1987, which means he probably gets money for that, too.
Oh,
if it was during that, yeah, frequently.
There's a nice picture.
Veterans do get.
Oh, it looks like his dick.
Oh, here goes. Gross. Here goes. Oh,
God, that is.
I can't watch it.
Wow, more.
I'm sorry, I pursued
Wait,
that.
Go back. I want to see that. Look at that one toe. Ugh, gross.
Oh boy.
Oh, what's wrong with that guy's toenail?
I don't know honestly, how you can look at this. Shit.
Oh, look at that one, bottom left.
I now think I know what this one. Is. This
Check
is
that out,
this
Kennedy,
is.
Look.
I think I know somebody who has this. Honestly.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, yeah.
Horrible.
Oh.
I think it's very painful too.
Well, it should be. It's an open wound.
It looks painful.
The hideousness of that foot will haunt my dreams forever.
The water supply at Camp Lejeune was contaminated with dry cleaning solvents. What?
Well, does everybody have it then?
He's on antibiotics and blood thinners, but hey, it's not all bad news on the health front. A recent operation to reverse the penis enlargement he had when he was working as a porn star has been a success. Oh, the penis this, by the way, I've never heard of anyone getting penis reduction surgery. No one.
He doesn't want to talk about the osteomyelitis or whatever, but he's more than happy to talk about the penis reduction surgery.
Oh, yeah. Penis reduction has been great. He says, as if we're discussing some household carpentry project. You know, it was just too big. About 10 inches by 3 inches when aroused.
Fake!
It was good for the movies, but girlfriends always complained about it. Quite often, they would deny sexual activity. I haven't been able to make love properly for over 20 years, but now I can.
Oh, good, good.
So why didn't you have it done sooner? I don't know. I guess I just didn't think of it.
Why doesn't Jonah Falcon get a penis reduction surgery?
Because John's the first person to ever complain about being too big. I wish I had, but now I'm fully functional. It was so easy. I didn't even have to stay in the hospital overnight. John Bobbin and his penis. Where to begin? In the aftermath of the attack, NASA's Titan spacecraft acquired the nickname Bobbit because of a section of the rocket detached during flight. What?
Even well, I'm talking about all the jokes that came out.
Even the New Yorker got in the act running a cartoon of three mice with white sticks listening to a radio. One is saying, she cut off his what with a carving knife? Bobbit never minded because he was in on the joke. He called himself Stumpy. He autographed steak knives. He hosted promotional events in Las Vegas where he was entertaining visiting society ladies by chopping up sausages and handing them around as canopies.
Took a picture with Drew and Trudy and a knife.
It's true. He did. The jokes were great. I was kind of sad and depressed until the first joke came out. Then I started feeling better. I felt it humanized me. It lifted me up. Oh, boy. All in all, it would be a blessing if everyone put their pet causes to one side and we could close the lid on this awful case forever. Even Mr. Bobbitt seems to think so. I don't know anyone who's been through so much with their sex organs than I have, says old Stumpy, star of Frank and Penis and some international joke, sometime international joke. Over the years, he's learned much, become more articulate.
Yeah.
Shut up, baby, dear.
Well, you can
and
hear it.
Sensitive and understanding, even cries at romantic films.
Yeah, you can hear it in those lines.
Remember, he celebrated.
It's not how articulate he is.
Remember, his thing is answering the previous question.
That's true.
Breaking
right.
news. He has a picture of his foot on Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Can I see it?
Not really.
There's a giant hole in it with stitches.
Ew.
And he wrote, healing up pretty good.
He celebrated his 50th birthday last year with friends
Kennedy?
In a real nice, expensive steak restaurant. Did he really need to mention it was an expensive steak restaurant?
Yeah.
He could say he just celebrated with friends at a restaurant?
He wasn't paying.
And he's pretty happy with his lot. Ask girlfriend Joni if anything about him would surprise people. Yes, the fact that he's so nice.
Oh, he's got a picture of he stepped on a nail. Oh, that's worse than any picture Brandon showed. You want to see it?
No. Our good friends at Zotford and Holly are loving the Take Maz to the Top contest for the month of July. Here are a couple Zotford summer sales event deals that might just be enough to get you to see Maz and throw your name in the hat to visit the dealsinthed.com studio. 0% financing for 72 months and up to $2,500 in rebates on select new Fords. Plus, Zot Ford is leasing brand new 18 Ford Echo Sports starting at $122 a month. Or lease an 18 Ford Escape as low as $137 a month. Finally, lease America's number one selling truck, a new 18 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 as low as $161 a month. Buy a vehicle from Zot Ford in July, and odds are you will have about 1 in 25. It's going to be lower than that. To win the coveted trip to Drew's basement, only from your friends at Zot Ford and DealsInAD.com. Maz is in first place.
All right.
I think he's at 14, by the way, which is, I mean, with 2 days left, I don't know what he's done Saturday.
He's out of control, by the way, on Thursday.
He did not work on Saturday. What was he? How was he out of control?
He just whichever way he wanted the conversation to go, he was out of control.
Were there any new separated births?
No, unfortunately. I honestly couldn't tell you what we talked about because it was just so out of control.
Hall Financial is a big supporter of the podcast, the best place to get your mortgage. If you're buying a home, considering a refi, or want to take cash out of your home, call David Hall. Ooh, the Hall Financial Classic is tomorrow.
Ooh.
Brett has a foursome in the Hall Financial Classic.
I won't play.
You can still donate to the charity if you care to. Just search on Hall Financial Classic. I don't know if they need any more golfers. I doubt it at this point.
There's a man that went to Wake Forest named Arnold Palmer.
Click the Hall Financial logo.
Not a bad golfer.
On the Drew and Mike Podcast webpage. Fill out the online form or call them at 248-308-5000. They would love to crunch the numbers for you. Maybe it's home improvements, shorten the term of your loan, or you want to buy a new home with little money down. David Hall and his team have all the programs you're looking for. They've been a great success with a lot of our listeners. Very happy. Restrictions apply. Michigan licensed broker lender, NMLS number 1467435, Eagle Housing Lender. And look, Nowacki, I never did print.
The new one?
No. Damn it.
Damn it. Damn it.
Can you charge me, by the way? God. Well, you have $11 trillion or $3 and something in change saved up. It's important to have a place and plan when saving retirement. We should have the Derek quotes here. I don't know how to do it. Some people may believe it's never been worse, but the truth is...
I can do that.
There's never been a bad time to reanalyze your current plan to achieve the retirement you want. And that's true. The sooner you do this, it's kind of like Dr. Yellow. The sooner you do it, the sooner you start benefiting, the sooner you have a plan. So many people don't even have a plan. Luke would love to help you put that together. And some of these things, while they seem very difficult with an outsider looking at it who's a professional, it's really not as hard as you think.
No, it wasn't.
Start today. Call Luke Nowacki, 248-663-4748 for no obligation review of your financial strategy. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Signature Investors, member FINRA, SIPC, Registered Investment Advisor, 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 408-034-286-6347-100. Set it.
See you on Friday.
One thing that you did talk about on Thursday that I caught, Mark, was the Facebook ordeal.
Oh, yeah, that took a nosedive.
I mean, that right
there.
It's
really interesting.
Looking at the drop-off.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
This stock is insane. And you had mentioned, I think that you believe that they can bounce back, no big deal. But
They own Instagram, they own WhatsApp.
Yeah, but one thing...
Is Facebook stock is separate from Instagram stock, or is it all one thing?
I think it's all under one.
It should be all under one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like Alphabet.
Well, you know what I see, though? And this isn't really a reflection on Facebook. Is you see Facebook just going up. What was the stock, $219 or something?
Yeah,
Okay.
Just shot to 20.
I'm thinking, you know, if I bought that stock at $20 or $50 or $100,
exactly.
I'm thinking, boy, when do I take my profit? Because you
whenever
can't
you need
just,
it.
It can't just keep going up. It can't. Can it really?
No.
I mean, look at Amazon and Apple.
Amazon's
I would be wondering,
the one that blows my mind.
But how much money do you need to make on something? It's like Bitcoin. All those people, look, I'm a billionaire. And then, oh, well, I'm not.
Yeah, but if you don't need it.
I don't know if you don't need it, but
why
but
pay the
will it go up that high again?
Amazon?
Facebook. Facebook is being displaced. Its growth is down. That was what the whole story was.
Well, because Zuck said that they were going to put some money into security and structure, and therefore their profits are going to be lower.
And for as much as it has gone down, it's still higher than what it was in April.
Yeah, I think it went back. It basically went back to where it was in the spring. So it's still up for the year.
Right.
But when you're looking at your portfolio and
your buttholio.
And also, 219 to, is it 171?
174.
Do you really want to buy 1,000 shares of Facebook at $171,000 buying 1,000 shares of Facebook?
I'd love to buy Amazon, because but I can't buy it because what's it at, $1,500?
Apple is at some outrageous price, too. It just feels like, boy, if you've been in Apple, you have made a killing. Can you plan on making a killing? You know, every time I've wondered that, it seems that, yeah, you would have made a killing had you bought Apple, but you gotta have a lot of money to buy Apple or Amazon.
Great investment. Great. A lot of death and blood and money.
Right.
Up 100, up 200, up 1,000, up 150, up 90, up 63. I said, good. That's better.
Mags is picking on Layla.
Is he? Oh,
yeah,
he's being taped too.
Yeah.
Really, Mags is getting into it?
I was very proud
Mags
of Mags
and Layla.
I think their his arthritic medicine's working because he ran up the steps today outside.
Yeah, oh,
I was very proud of him.
That came from Dr. Roche. I just put it on his neck every day, and he is he is more active.
Oh, round two.
Look how fired up he is.
A lot better than just losing.
Wait, go, man. Go get him, Max.
What is their problem?
Go get her.
Happy to see Drew. They haven't seen him in days. He walks in and immediately comes down here to do the show.
So they're picking on each other?
Well, I think they're just fired up and trying to exert some energy.
Go for it, Mags.
Mags has done a lot better in this round. He's spun around twice. He's actually on his feet. I haven't seen that famous stiff arm, though.
You're going to get arrested for an illegal dogfighting.
So venue. Cute. Best friends.
What are you guys doing, huh?
Aww. Mags and Layla.
They were fired up when I came in. Aww. Layla was crazy. Layla's still fired up. She's still going after Mags. Look at that. They look like she's throwing a little stiff arm out there. Did you get some good video, Kennedy?
I tried.
That cameo.
Still going at it.
That cameo of Farrah that Brandon just played reminds me of the other cameo we had from Federline. Did you see he's going to get more money?
You mean for his cameos?
No, for...
from Britney Spears?
Yeah, he's going to get...
Are you kidding me?
He's going to get 10 grand more a month.
Okay.
30 grand.
Well, that's probably his settlement because he was asking for 60 grand a month or something. Ridiculous.
Yep.
You fucking ask somebody.
What a joke. So how is he going to spend $15,000 a month on those each child?
Oh, I think a lot of it's going to go towards him.
Oh, really?
Maybe the other kids.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how this guy gets $240,000 and for some reason he doesn't have enough money.
30 grand a month.
Oh, but I'm sorry. That's all for the two kids, so he doesn't get to spend it on himself.
Oh, no.
Oh.
So the idea was that he needed more money for the two kids because he can't provide them what she can at her house.
Do you know he had two more kids with the lady he's married to now?
Yeah.
So he had what? Two, then two, then two?
But he doesn't
six?
Spend any of that $30,000 on the other four kids.
No
that
savings.
Never happens.
No savings or assets whatsoever. And his wife does not work, so she brings in no income.
So he does spend, he was spending $10,000 a month on each child. That's why he has no savings.
Of course not.
I know, it's a joke.
Well, like those
it's
two
a total
kids.
Total joke.
Those two kids are living the high life and the rest of his brats aren't.
No, he lives in a, he's, so got, he's got a nice house.
Yeah.
He claims it's too small, though.
Two of the kids get to play like the brand new PS4. The other two have to play
they're
Super
not allowed
Nintendo.
To touch it. They're not allowed to touch it.
By the way, he also says he's disabled, like John Bobbitt.
Can't dance.
What? Can't dance anymore. So there's
old.
Apparently, there's no other job he can do besides dancing.
Well,
so he's on lifetime disability.
I got to agree with him there.
You can do cameo too.
What up, Detroit? This is Kevin Federline, and you're listening to the Drew and Mike Show. That's what's up. You better fucking ask somebody.
I was really confused by that, but I'll
accept it. I think everybody is.
Do we have the 911 call from Michael Lohan?
What? What happened?
Yeah, Michael Lohan.
Oh, yeah, he called 911.
Yeah, there was an incident in his house. I think his new wife attacked him or something like that. Something crazy.
Kate Major? Or no, he's not married to her, is she?
No, he just banged her.
Gross. After Gosling.
Kate Major Lohan, yeah.
Goose.
Oh, it was Kate Major.
She was drunk and on the attack. He made the call on Thursday
night.
This
has happened before.
He is married to Kate Major?
Yeah.
They're doing great. Still going on?
Yeah, they're great parents.
Police did show up and arrested Kate for battery.
It's not the first time that's happened.
I was going to say, I swear, this feels like total deja vu. Quiet.
I feel like Gosselin Penis just made her crazy because she was a writer for The Star and she was doing okay.
That penis has a track record of making women crazy.
It does.
My wife's drunk. She came home last night. The police were here. She took our car drunk. And now she was okay and she started drinking, I guess, in her room. And she broke my phone. And now she just threw a glass handle and cut my arm.
They need a paramedic?
Are you okay?
No, I don't know.
Why are you calling the cops over this?
It's shattered on the tree and it caught me.
Okay, you there right now, sir?
Are you okay?
Yes, I am, ma'am.
What did she throw at you?
A candle from the house.
Are you separated from her?
No, she lives with me, but she's been arrested a number of times.
Oh, that's nice. So arrest her again.
No, I mean, are you guys separated right now?
Yeah, physically.
You know, like, are you not close to her?
No, no, I'm in the driveway in the car. I was actually leaving.
So, yes, you're separated.
Okay.
What a dope.
She's got a lot of mug shots.
So when did this happen, sir?
She does. Gosling penis, I'm telling you. Right, it wrecks women.
Does she have any weapons?
No, I don't think she got knives in the house, and she's threatened me with knives before, but she threw a candle at me and it was flat.
Oh, what an information dump this is.
A joke.
I think he just wanted to talk.
Yeah. He needed somebody to talk to.
I'm afraid of her. I don't know what she's going to do next.
Okay, I'm getting an officer out there. If anything changes, give us a call back, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Layla!
Kennedy got Mag's stiff-arming Layla.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's throwing it out there. It's just a threat. It seems like it
Layla's
going to
call 911 on Mag's.
Oh, Mag's.
Oh, my God, are they
she
fired up.
She is so fired up.
She is really weird.
Showing off for you.
We will make sure to post that video.
Go to therapy and figure it out.
Did you see who's going to be on Big Brother in the UK?
Who?
Stormy Daniels.
I know you don't believe in climate change, but a storm's a coming, baby.
How much do you think they're paying her to be on the UK's Big Brother?
Oh, boy. Let's see. $500,000.
$4,000.
A £500,000, yes.
Oh, £500,000. It's even more.
It gets more ridiculous. She's only going to be on for 1 week.
Why?
She kind of doesn't. I'm mad because it's violating the rules
that's
of Big
bullshit.
Brother.
Yeah, that's she's not even in the contest.
No.
So it's just an appearance fee.
Exactly.
The Big Brother house has only people trying to win the money.
Producer of the show could not afford her demands for the full month of the series.
What?
The money she wanted to go into the house was so high that there was no way they could afford her for the whole 4 weeks. So they decided it was better to have her for a short time than not at all.
Does that mean she automatically gets voted off the first week then?
Yeah, which is a farce.
Yeah.
They're ruining the, you know, high regard of Celebrity Big Brother.
The conversion rate on that, by the way, is $655,000 American.
I'm just going to say this because I've seen her in 60 Minutes and a couple other places. I don't think she's an interesting person at all. I know that might shock people.
No, she's just going to go on there and talk about Trump.
Really?
Isn't
what
she?
What can she say about him? She's already said it.
Well,
I mean, are there really things to add?
To the UK audience. I hope she puts out for somebody.
Could happen.
She's single now.
Big Brother at night.
But is that why Michael Avenatti was in London, or was he just there to grandstand with the Trump balloon?
I think he was
probably
there
the latter.
He was in a Trump baby.
Yeah. He's in the news, too, because he says there's now three women that have been paid off by Trump that he's representing.
Oh,
regarding
who's the third?
He won't name them. I don't think he represents, what's her name from here?
Karen McDougal.
Karen McDougal. I don't think he represents
so it's two
her.
Others?
Yeah, but he won't name them. So how do we really
why would he
know?
Not name them?
He has evidence of all three women's affairs with the president, but he's not at liberty to share it. All three said were paid hush money before the election. Which doesn't even matter now.
Doesn't it seem that the world of the non-disclosure payment is gone poof?
Yeah,
it
good.
Really
so maybe
nothing.
End it?
Well, yeah. No, I think it was in bad faith in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Look at anyone. When I hear of anyone making a non-disclosure payment, I think, oh, what did you do wrong? You did something horrible.
Originally, it was companies would have non-disclosure to protect, you know, their proprietary knowledge.
That's different.
Yeah, I know, but now
that's
it's extended
enforceable,
to this.
I would think.
Yeah.
I don't think a crime, I don't think any of this is enforceable.
But this non-disclosure obviously wasn't regarding a crime. It became a crime if there's campaign finances involved and or lying about how you got the loan, like Cohen.
But I'm more intrigued by the U.S. Olympic Committee's non-disclosure about underage
that was
sexual abuse.
That was illegal, which is why they didn't fight it. Why they just
who's going to jail for that, though? Who's being charged?
No,
I haven't heard anything.
No one's being charged for it because they don't want to admit to it.
And the R. Kelly payments. Those are okay, I guess. He just keeps molesting 16-year-old girls as he pays off another one, another one, another one, another one, another one.
He admitted it. Did you hear that great song?
That's fake.
All 19 minutes of it?
On Stormy's front.
That's a joke.
How much at the end of the year do you think that she will be paid in 2018? How much money?
I don't know. Oh. She doesn't make that much at these strip joints. I thought she would make big bucks.
Well,
it's like $3,000or something.
20% of that's going to get claimed anyway.
Well, when you do that 4 times a week, every week, plus you're doing all these interviews that get paid cash, you're doing Big Brother for $600,000.
What interviews?
People pay her for interviews?
Yeah, what interviews has she done that she got paid cash for?
You don't think she got paid for any of the interviews she's done, or no?
Not 60 Minutes isn't going to pay her.
No?
No.
I guess it's not the
Well, did you say four strip clubs a week?
Yeah. What do they pay her? Don't they pay her $20,000 too?
No, that was $3,000.
That's
yeah, it was shot.
Wow.
It was not much.
Wow, man. She needs a new lawyer.
Let's just say it's $5,000. It's $20,000 a week, $80,000 a month. That's $960,000 a year.
$4,000.
Plus her $655,000. So she makes $1.5 million this year.
Not bad. How much is she going to have to give up in the divorce?
Is she that interesting, though, for
I guess strike while the iron's hot.
Is she really going to be someone? I don't even think she looks that good.
No.
I think she's milking it while it lasts.
Yeah,
because,
I
know, next year
well,
no one's going to care.
Is. But the idea, she would have you believe that she is really upset and she wants to speak and this person threatened her. And I think it's a bunch of bullshit. I think she just...
Stripping? Who said I was stripping?
She, like Karen McDougal, sees this as, oh, I fucked the president and I have a chance to make some money out of it. But I was not supposed to disclose anything, and so now I'm going to disclose something and try and get something out of it, and I think she's done a much better job. Why has Karen McDougal not been able to cash in more?
Well, she's getting her articles printed now.
What a joke.
What? You're not reading her health articles?
I saw one, by the way.
She must have been so bummed out when American media said, okay, start writing those articles for us now that we bought.
We'll print your stupid articles.
She's probably like, oh, I have to write those now. Because if she doesn't write them, can't they just say, well, you're fired. We want our money back.
What a laugh that she thought she had a career in health care, exercise?
Yeah, men's health.
Because she banged Trump and she agreed to tell her story to the Inquirer, so therefore that makes her a credible person to do that.
Well, no one's supposed to know about that part.
Well, she also
because it's in print doesn't mean it's the gospel.
So now she's told her story, which she was so upset that she didn't tell her story. Did that really help her that much to tell her story?
What you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
I'm guessing that she thinks there's a book deal or something. Jeez. Wouldn't you think? I mean, what else could she cash in on?
A book deal? We already know the whole story.
No, I know, exactly.
Who cares about a pamphlet deal?
Well, she was with him for 9 months, so she could cook up a book out of that.
Oh, that's true. And she's talking about stripping at the landing, dancing at the landing.
That's a secret.
Well, she already has a book. She has the coloring book, the adult coloring books.
She does?
Yeah. Where you get to fill in all of her nude, I guess it should come with a flesh-colored crayon.
I bet she did really well with that.
Wait.
I mean, she's 47 years old. She's still beautiful, but she's not.
It's published this year. In March.
When you think about Karen McDougal, had she
Is that McDougal or is that Daniels?
Oh, Stormy, I'm sorry. You guys are talking
about... paying attention.
My bad.
Don't you think Karen McDougal, if she'd been born 20 years later, would be some giant on Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
Possibly. I mean, you never know.
Although, I don't know. They're dime a dozen now.
They are dime a dozen. You're right.
So
and
many
being
of
in
them.
Playboy means nothing anymore either.
Although, did you see who's going to be nude in Playboy?
Who?
It's a celebrity. I want you to guess this one. And then I want you to guess how much they're paying her. Someone you're not going to be happy about. And someone you do not find attractive.
Oh, boy.
And someone who's 20 years old.
If we were to all stand up united as one, our impact,
Kylie Jenner?
It would be
huge.
Am I on the right track?
Believe me, huge.
Even worse.
And that's not fake news.
At least Kylie's self-made.
We must show these Nazi white supremacist jerks.
Paris Jackson? Oh, come on.
She's been offered the cover and an inside spread.
I want a restraining order.
The deal has not been inked yet, but Paris is very interested.
Of course she is. She's interested in anything that gets her attention.
This is so dumb.
She is the biggest attention whore ever, and there's no reason to pay any attention to her! None!
They'd like to shoot in South Africa because Paris loves the idea of being surrounded by wild animals.
Oh, shut up. That's too expensive. Go to hell.
The plan is for the shoot to be sexy. Paris
I don't even want to see her nude. I don't want to see her nude. I'd rather I didn't see
her.
If you see her nude, shield me from her, please.
We've seen her. Shield. No. Jumping for Andrew's face. No.
I want a restraining order against her nude. Is that unreasonable?
How much do you think they're offering?
Oh, my God.
You got to put your
If you tell me it's more than $250,000, I'm going to be very angry.
On. Let's not get crazy. It's less than that.
$150,000?
$180,000.
Oh, please.
Plus the trip to South
Africa.
Why?
She's been nude, hasn't she?
She's been topless all over the place.
Who cares? She's Debbie Rowe's daughter! her.
I know. And they're having an intervention for Debbie Rowe and Katherine Jackson.
But what?
Yeah, because they're worried about the way she's been acting.
Debbie?
No, Debbie Rowe for Paris. They're having her mom's having an intervention.
Oh, on Paris.
For Paris, oh, okay. Yeah, because they're worried about her. Yeah.
But this makes me wonder, since they brought back nudity to the Playboy magazine, what famous celebrity has posed nude?
Well, there's so much nudity. Why do we need Playboy magazine? Is there really a need for it? People really buy magazines?
I don't know. Maybe you don't have the internet.
The only problem that I have with her physically is the breasts.
I don't know why that makes me laugh. It's
I mean,
so
the Hustler can still kind of live on because it shows, you know, still shots of boning.
Cherry. Yeah.
And it comes
You know what
DVD.
I did get? The Lane Bryant catalog out of my neighbor's mailbox. Thank you very much.
Brandon and I were talking about a story earlier before we started about a woman who shot her husband dead because he was buying too much porn. And both of our reaction was, why are you buying porn?
That's pretty stupid.
He was ordering too much porn off the TV. So
Pornhub.
And shot him.
You get MrSkin.com for $99.
You get anything for free on life. The internet.
Were you watching Spank Revision?
I don't know how anybody does that, but those sites, obviously, they stay open because people pay money to them, but yeah. I don't know why.
So Paris Jackson, we're stuck with her. I mean, we're never going to stop hearing about her, are we?
No, God, no.
How can we make it stop?
Nobody buy that. Why don't we have a petition? She's no one buys Playboy.
She's Debbie Rowe's daughter with Dr. Arnold Klein. She's not Michael Jackson's offspring. She is not.
But he raised
her. Absolutely not.
But he raised her.
Just BS. They made it up.
Well, as fascinating as that is, we've heard enough about that.
The other person that's supposed to be on Celebrity Big Brother with Stormy Daniels is Meghan Markle's half-sister. Far more interesting.
Can I get my phone back?
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if it's charged.
Yeah, Thomas Markle cannot get in touch with Meghan. He's unable to talk to her.
Which one's the half-sister? This one's Samantha?
Yes, that one.
And she's the one who's going to write the nasty book about Meghan.
So she's going to be
about
on
her being a climber.
What,
we know she's
mouth?
A climber. That's not news.
Kirstie Alley's going to be on Celebrity Big Brother.
Kirstie Alley? Yeah. Is Scientology's letting her do that?
I guess. It's a good ad for Scientology.
That's true. She can spread the word.
Everybody else are British people who no one knows about.
Kirstie Alley is going to be on Big Brother. That's how far she's fallen?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's pretty telling. Is she on Cameo?
Oh, wow. She is not. But that'd be perfect for her.
I drew at Mike.
Okay. What's the guy's name? Oh, here it is. We never got around to talking about Scotty Bowers' tell-all.
Scotty Bowers?
Yeah, the guy who...
Oh, yeah! The Hollywood pimp.
Yeah.
Brandon's prep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy used to hook up a bunch of people. He was the pimp of Hollywood, including hooking up dudes with other dudes. Like he hooked up, was it Rock Hudson with Cary Grant?
It was a lot of women with lesbian stars, too. He operated a brothel out of a gas station.
Cool.
He was a Marine, and he knew a lot of Marine dude studs, and those are the guys he hooked up with, Rock Hudson.
Man,
and Spencer Tracy, by the way, and Katharine Hepburn were supposedly, wasn't that the couple that they supposedly had an affair for decades?
Oh, and both gay?
They're both gay. It sounds like they're both gay. It was a bearded affair. Why would you have a bearded affair? Why not just marry a beard?
Yeah, that's
dumb. Why a bearded affair? Just to make it sound more credible? Like,
Yeah. People bought it. See, this, man, Golden Hollywood, that was pretty cool because this would never happen today.
No.
It'd be all out. We know their tweets when they were teenagers.
Bowers is 94, sporting a mop of white hair, generally genial attitude. He's led a life like no other. After training from the Marine Corps combat in the Pacific during World War II, he started pumping gas at 5777 Hollywood Boulevard.
I guess he's pumping. I guess
he's pumping gas.
It ain't got no gas in it.
What was the address, 57?
5777 Hollywood Boulevard.
I wonder what's there now.
As Bauer sells an overture from a seemingly unlikely customer, the tweety, gentlemanly actor Walter Pidgeon led to more Hollywood connections. Some of Scotty's pals joined the act, and pretty soon the Richfield station was flooded with customers looking for a quick trick.
Can you imagine if you just went there to get gas?
Pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together.
And you walk into Pay, and Rock Hudson's blowing Spencer Tracy.
Hope you brought some condoms.
Oh, my God. Rock, can I get your autograph?
No, no, no. I'm a little busy right now.
By the way, this gas station, right around the corner from the Church of Scientology Celebrity Center.
Oh.
Right around the corner, right off the freeway, too.
He quickly became known for fulfilling any desire, male or female, solo or group, that his customers might request. The revelations of his book, which were many, involved clandestine liaisons Bowers facilitated involving Cary Grant, Randolph Scott, Charles Laughton, Tyrone Power, Cole Porter, the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. They were gay! Wait. The Duke who abdicated the throne for the woman I love, Wallace Simpson, the American divorcee.
They were gay?
Yes.
Really?
He hooked him up with dudes and her up with chicks, which is not surprising to me at all. Can we have the audio of him abdicating the throne?
That led to the king's
abdicated
speech.
Abdicated the throne. That's true. For the woman I love.
And then Madonna played her. So that makes total sense that she would be a lesbian.
Spencer Tracy, Katharine Hepburn, who insists we're not physical with each other. Just what are you, Bowers is asked at one point. I'm everything, he answers. Does seem that he's eager to please, permeability and able to be anything his clients wanted.
Just what are you?
By 47, he had met George Cukor and was sending new talent to the director's famous all-male Sunday parties by the pool. Hot! While on the other, he was involved in a three-way with two of the most alluring actresses in Hollywood, Ava Gardner and Lana Turner. A three-way with them? Were they after each other? Was he just getting in the way? I was 100% reliable, he allows. I made so many people happy. Scotty himself was pre-gay, according to actor Stephen Fry. Pre-gay?
Pre-gay?
He's out of the Marines.
How old is he?
Anyone who reads Bowers' book or sees this film, I think there's actual audio of him having sex in this documentary.
Who? Scotty?
Yeah.
I guess he's got a huge dong, too.
Of course he does.
That's according to his Wikipedia page, and I'm not joking.
What does it say?
John Alleman, former arts director of Beverly Hills United School District, knew Bowers for more than 20 years, introduced him to his co-writer, said, Scotty doesn't lie about anything. He's a poor kid from a farm in Illinois. When he got here, his two assets were his big penis and charming personality. That's what he used to feed his family. Gross! He fed his family with his big penis?
This guy's wiener is, you know, huge, right?
Scotty's not...
Sexual dealings with Milton Berle. Sorry, carry on.
Ooh. He was always ultra discreet, and incredibly, he says, he was never paid for sex by the stars he serviced. He made his money as a bartender at the private parties where he then arranged liaisons.
Oh, shit. He got tipped.
He ran an introduction service. He recalls times got especially tough during the 50s when the Vice Squad got busy and the muckraking Confidential magazine made especially of splashing lurid innuendos about certain Hollywood bachelors and could and did ruin careers. Scotty navigated through this period unscathed and kept going until the 80s when AIDS effectively shut down the sort of casual tricking of which he was the master.
Damn it, AIDS. AIDS strikes again.
The author devotes considerable time to showing Bowers puttering around his impossibly cluttered main house in the Hollywood Hills that he shared with his wife, who seems disgusted by the mess but powerless to do anything. The film also allows him to book signings, conferences with Taschen Books, and meetings with few surviving old pals who deliver their own fawning testimonials to how Scotty enhanced their lives. There have been some down moments, especially the death of his only child, a daughter, after a botched abortion.
Oh great. The
film doesn't go into detail about the revelations about his childhood sexual abuse. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Well, he supposedly arranged 150 different lesbos for Katharine Hepburn.
When's this documentary?
I don't know.
Where can we see it?
He nailed Betty Davis, too.
Yuck.
I know, gross. You can have her, Scotty.
With this huge dong.
I guess so.
Betty Davis.
Got a couple numbers for him.
Let's call Scotty.
Really?
Yeah.
Still alive?
Oh, there was one guy. Oh boy. I don't know if I should say this. The story that Brandon sent. There was one dude who was a Hollywood star, and I think he named him, who he got him 15 guys that he could blow in a row. Just like blowing dudes.
What?
Yeah.
How gluttonous. Why did he need 15?
I don't know. I guess he just liked doing that.
Two wouldn't suffice?
Apparently not. He didn't want any refractory time, I guess. He wanted to go bang, 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 bang.
Oh, God.
What are the percentage chances, Brandon?
48% on
48
on number one and 36 on number two.
Do you think Jay-Z played this song when the Obamas saw him?
Oh my God, I saw that. I knew you'd be angry. Obama went to a Jay-Z and Beyonce show, and people are not watching the show. They're filming the Obamas dancing in the suite.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Why don't you take care of that while...
Which one was that?
Figure out the second one. That was the 48% or allegedly.
Oh, boy. Well, this next one. No way the next one.
Because the article was published, he might have switched numbers. But...
Oh, yeah, because 95-year-old guys are really on top of things like that.
I got a backup, jerkwad.
In the meantime, I got my new Lincoln MKZ at Hoop McInerney Star Lincoln in Southfield. Southeastern Michigan's premier Lincoln dealership. Owner Jim McInerney, Hoot's son, has been a daily listener of the podcast since we came on, and now we welcome him and Star Lincoln. Lincoln is the star of American luxury cars, and that's why the late Hoot gave it that name. And the stars do align at Hoot's place with a newly remodeled showroom and an immaculate service area. With the MKZ, you'll love the 14-speaker Revel audio sound system. You can crank Big Pimpin' through it. It'll sound great. Or the podcast. You can crank anything you want. Do the same thing in the Navigator. It was named 2018 North American Truck of the Year. Check out their whole line of Lincolns because the McInerneys are going to make it easy for you. All you got to do to find out how to get into a 2018 Lincoln is call our personal sales rep, Jimmy D. Call Jimmy toll-free at 855-567-STAR. That's 855-567-STAR. He's going to take personal care of you. You can email him, jimmyd@starlincoln.com. You'll get the guaranteed lowest price Lincoln is going to allow on whatever model you choose. Drive the Star. Call Jimmy D, 855-567-STAR.
And where we left it, Brandon, at a 48% chance phone number and a 36, so there's an 84% chance we're going to talk to Scotty.
We're sorry. You have or a zero.
What?
God damn it.
Why don't you just say you misdialed? Your tiny hand.
What do you think, Fran?
I think that I need to do a little bit more investigating, and I'll find the right number.
I have a number that's 100% if you want to call it.
Who's this dude?
It's a 100-year-old skydiver. And he's already talking shit about the guy who owns the record at 101 years, and he's going to break it.
Why is he skydiving at 100?
Because he's 100 and he's not scared of death because he's 100.
Is he a skydiving dirtbag? Like,
oh, yeah, like that guy you watched that documentary on? Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to call him?
I guess. If Scotty Bowers isn't around.
Or we could call the Iron Sheik because I talked to him earlier, kind of.
The Iron Sheik? Now, is he bummed out?
I would think he'd be bummed out because Nikolai Volkov died.
I thought you talked to him. Was he bummed out when you talked to him?
No, I was too scared. I pretended like I couldn't hear him. I called him back. Okay. Pull one of those.
Moments. Oh, one of those.
So maybe it wasn't him, but I said, Sheik. He's like, yes. We've interviewed the Iron Sheik before. He's a little nuts. Kind of freaks me out a little bit.
His partner died? See, I don't know anything about the guy that died.
You're awesome.
He was a Russian guy.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Iron Sheik was Iran. So in the 80s, those were our two big enemies.
Right. So Hulk Hogan used to face off against those guys.
Yeah.
Whose son died? The wrestler's son that was in jail and tried to hang himself?
Was Lawler? It Lawler? Jerry Lawler's?
I think, Jerry yeah. Lawler's kid?
I think he did, yeah.
That was sad. Why was he in jail?
I don't know.
Okay. He was in wrestling too. Brian Christopher? Yeah. He didn't make it as big as his dad did.
I liked wrestling as a kid and I kind of lost touch with it, but it is insane. Utterly insane and how early they all die.
Yeah, wrestlers have a pretty short lifespan. A lot of them, a lot of them have used, enhancement drugs, and I think it's done long-term damage to their body.
I think it's best summed up in the documentary, The Wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Still real to me, damn it!
Great documentary.
It's a real documentary, right?
Whoa. Yeah.
With Mickey Rourke.
I did not realize, what's the girl's name? The actress
China?
That is in the documentary.
Oh, Marissa Tomei.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei. Yeah, I was not so aware of her connection to the wrestling industry. Also, the fact she worked at a titty bar.
She's hot.
It's a real documentary.
Yeah.
So you want to give Sheik or the 100-year-old call?
I mean, both are dubious.
I think the 100-year-old, because I don't want to run into a truly bummed out Sheik, which seems like it's possible. Did he just die?
It was just an eye. I think he passed away over the weekend. It was announced today.
What's a 100-year-old skydiver's name?
Oh, sorry. His name is Stu.
Stu?
Shoe.
Shoe.
Your Tebow broke his hand?
Yes.
So for the season, that's going to really hurt. That can really hurt the Mets.
For Tebow, he actually
said no.
Tebow had a pretty legit chance of actually getting called up, just kind of as a sideshow.
Because he's a joke.
But
he's a mascot. I mean, why not just put him in the Mr. Met outfit? Or have Mr. Met have a giant Tebow head?
Why don't you have Mr. Met play left field? Might as well. Same difference.
I think Mr. Met should have a giant Tebow head.
Boy, wouldn't that be kind of funny if a team that just sucks, like the, I don't know, the Royals or maybe even the Tigers, just has celebrities go play?
Why not?
Like Tom Selleck.
Yeah, Garth
Brooks.
Brooks
plays,
he played in spring training.
They just lose every game.
But you get to see all these people. You can put Keanu Reeves on the team. Remember, he's a bass player. Remember, you should go see his band.
Just for a weekend.
You could
totally
have the Flying Tomato play first base.
Shaun White.
Stu? Wait, somebody hang up?
Well, he lives in an old person.
I never heard it ring.
I think they answered.
Uh-oh.
We didn't hear it.
Oh, balls.
What's Stu's?
O-Town Skydive was playing.
What's Stu's last name?
God damn it. Williamson.
Williamson, okay.
All right, I'm going to turn the music down.
Stu Meister.
O-Town scared away.
Stu Meister.
They heard us talking. Stuart.
Start. How you doing here? Start.
Horizon House Reception.
I was calling for my interview with Stu Williamson.
Oh, okay. Let me transfer you. One moment.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Stuart, come on. Your house sucks.
She sounds hot.
How does Stuart get out of the assisted living place to skydive?
They set it up. Mm-hmm. It was one of their activities.
Oh, that seems like a strange activity.
They do that. They have a whole calendar of activities.
Well, I take them to the fireworks.
I'm transferring you now.
Okay, thank you. She's kind of pushing her out.
What's your name so I can Facebook you?
Very airy. Very airy.
That's why everybody there loves
Maybe she was just saying bye, Hef, before we called.
Bye, Stu.
So I can't get over how stupid that is. It blows my mind every time I hear it.
Hello.
Hi, is this Stu?
Yeah, this is Stu.
Stu Williamson, the 100-year-old skydiver?
What's he doing up there?
Yeah, that's the one.
Stu, how are you doing? This is the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit.
Pardon?
Congratulations.
Thank you, whoever you are.
It's the Drew and Mike Show. We're a radio show in Detroit, Michigan. We heard about your exploits.
Just a minute while I turn my... Hearing aid up.
Yeah, crank that fucker.
Okay. I'm still not sure who I'm talking to.
Yeah, it's the Drew and Mike Show. We do a show out of Detroit, and we heard about that you were a 100-year-old skydiver.
Who are you?
You're not even paying attention.
Have you ever skydived? I mean, are you a skydiver? Or is this fake?
Skydiving out of a plane. Have you ever jumped out of a plane? Megaphone.
Boy, I'm scratching my head because I can't identify the voice.
Are you 100 years old?
That's why I can't understand the voice.
Oh, okay. Stu, it's a radio show, and we heard about your skydiving. Let me get the megaphone. Hang on.
Yeah?
Remember the radio? The old talkies? Remember the radio? Oh, Jesus.
One, two, check.
Oh, boy. We're on a radio show.
You've got me. Am I talking to a friend or am I talking
the media.
A radio station.
Yes, there you go. A radio station. We wanted to congratulate you on skydiving.
Should you get about podcasting since it's a podcast?
Yeah, sure. Maybe he's hip to that.
Well, good.
Sure
I've been getting a lot of phone calls. I'm not really... I didn't do it to get any publicity, and now I'm getting it, and I'm not sure how to respond to.
Well, tell us about the dive.
Yes, I am the person who skydived, and I don't I don't think it's anything particularly remarkable, but...
Well, congratulations. Was it fun?
One, two.
Well, you know, the skydive people were promoted as fun.
Now, you didn't have to jump with somebody.
I wouldn't identify it so much as a fun thing as a thrill thing. There's a difference between, you know, you can have a thrill without having fun, and you can have fun without having a thrill.
Is it more thrilling?
The key part, of course, is that...
Don't be afraid to listen.
Getting out of the plane, looking out there, you get a real shot of adrenaline as you...
Yeah.
Make the thing that you're either going to go down or you're going to fall this 14,000 feet to your death. And as you're falling with somebody strapped to your back, and you're going through the air at about 180 miles an hour, which is
hot,
like being in a hurricane, but you don't have a palm tree to hang on to. So.
Stu, you said with somebody on your back. Do you pull the ripcord yourself?
Pardon?
Do you pull the cord for the parachute yourself, or does the other person
do it? No, I'm not sure that the instructors, they call a guy on your back, does it either. I think it has a time limit on it. They don't take any chance, and I think there's something built automatically.
Oh.
They send out first a small
kind of a passenger.
Yeah, what do you need that guy for?
To slow things down. So the instructor probably has a backup, but I've been inclined to think there's a time thing. They give you a free fall, and
sounds
I think there's
iffy.
Something in
push
the
them out.
System there that just automatically opens the thing.
Yeah, I thought maybe that
so
they would tell
know,
you.
The person, myself or anybody else doing it, has no judgments to make. You don't have to worry about, do I pull a cord at this count or anything like that. It all just happens. Then after the chute opens up, while you're just sitting there looking at the landscape.
So the only decision
for another 10 minutes.
The only decision you have is to say, "I want to go skydiving," and the rest is done for you. That's what it sounds like, right?
Well, are you asking me why I did it? Or
no,
or,
no, I was.
But,
no.
Not even paying attention.
It sounds like you like the adrenaline.
Well, I've always liked roller coasters, and I would say that in terms of fun or excitement, a good roller coaster, the kind that rotates. Is probably more
this interview
fun.
Is very iffy.
It is,
but it's not.
Are
I
all
don't know. It's
is everybody at the
once
the,
or twice in a lifetime experience? You know, it's unique.
Is everybody at the
old? I
didn't
find it the least bit frightening, and partly that's because of the security of the thing is. Is extreme. I don't think there's anybody
you start
ever
the goodbye process. It could be
yeah, I heard those things are on a timer.
I'm safer walking, doing that jump, in terms of personal safety, than I am walking four blocks down the street or getting into a car.
Yeah, I get it, Stu. That is exciting, and I really appreciate your time on this and enlightening us on why you do it. And we just want to wish you a happy birthday as well.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it to him, Stu.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're very, very welcome.
You have a
and
great.
I'm sorry I was confused with your.
Oh, no.
That's
all
right.
As you may.
Totally understandable.
This is very poor.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
We came out of there. No, it wasn't poor at all. Thank you. Bye, Stu.
I got off the phone awfully quick. I think he knew he was being dismissed.
I know. I was quick.
The guy went from telling you all about his skydiving to just being mad that you want to get rid of him.
Well, I was pissed that he doesn't even know how it gets done. It's like he's a passenger.
He is.
It's like he just says, yeah, I want to go skydiving, and then he's done.
I agree with you. I feel like who's ever running that home's like, hey, let's set a record by throwing one of these old guys out of
a
plane.
He's put him on somebody's back. He goes out of the plane. Has no idea how the chute is pulled.
Probably just woke up. They probably held his medicine. Until he would agree to do it and sign a release.
It would not be a good idea to have a 100-year-old guy pulling the cord in case he just spaced.
Or didn't have the strength.
I don't know. I would never trust it. I would always think there has to be some way for it to go wrong, right? I mean, it does. Sure. Otherwise, it wouldn't be exciting.
Yeah, but he has no fear of death. He's 100. It's like that 100-year-old that died of AIDS or in a Corvette crash.
Oh, somebody just died of AIDS?
Yeah.
At 100?
Yeah, they always do.
It's pretty wild.
It's the way to
go. Yeah, it happens. Well, I think they just decide it's natural causes when it's quite obvious it's something else. But anyway.
Hey, well, he was a great guy, Stu.
Yeah, he was wonderful.
Lovely man.
Yeah, we found out the lady
working there is pretty hot.
Bad Baby has been nominated for a Billboard Award. I was so excited to hear that.
That's based on sales, isn't it?
Oh, is it? So she is one of the top selling?
I think so.
Oh, my
God. Isn't that how that works for Billboard? Who else was nominated?
I don't know. I just saw they just had a little story that she was nominated, and that was enough to make me barf and have no interest in the rest of the awards.
Wins. I hope she gets nominated for a Grammy.
Oh, my God, Ronnie.
White J's, white Porsche, white wrist.
What?
White horse.
Okay.
High bitch. Huh? High bitch. High bitch.
High
bitch.
Oh.
Remember, wasn't she just nominated for an American Music Award as well?
Yeah, she was. She didn't win. She was up against, like, Jay-Z and Drake or something.
I heard Obama was at her concert dancing.
I'm sure he was. He's a huge fan.
He might as well at this point. Why not?
I agree.
We're still getting IRS numbers. I thought we stamped out the fake IRS. What's going on?
Oh, they're never ending.
Yeah,
when you arrest 22 out of 17,000.
Out of 2 billion.
We got a we have a pastor listening, and his wife is being threatened by the IRS.
Oh, really?
Even he thinks Hugh Jeppinus.
Yeah. If God can't solve it, Hugh Jeppinus can.
Absolutely. Well, I'm stunned at how many emails we got about the arrest of the people in Mumbai.
Yeah.
Mumbai, right?
It's always New Delhi to me.
I didn't think didn't realize it was happening in India. I thought it was always Nigeria.
Well, judging by their voices, though.
Right. All right, let's give this one a shot.
Anyway, it's interesting. We do have a pastor listening. That's nice. Somebody's praying for us.
Damn it!
Hopefully.
It was Bombay. That's why my joke failed. Mumbai used to be Bombay.
Oh!
I guess Hugh Jeppinus did shut it down.
Do you know what happened to the ones that we were calling the other day? I actually wanted to give those ones a shot because they just continuously worked, and that's kind of rare with these IRS numbers.
I want to try this. David sent us this number, too, just for S&G. These are probably old, so I'm just curious. We've been connecting with the IRS a lot more lately. Mm-hmm. Well, the quote-unquote IRS.
You get them same day, you're good to go, but...
Some of those were a day old, though. The last couple weeks, I don't know, the IRS is more active. I think they're getting more credible by keeping the same number.
Oh
okay. You want to call the old number?
If I can find it. I think Mark might have cleaned house around
what?
Here.
What? No, I didn't. I put it all in the drawer.
God, there's still...
I asked if you wanted a drawer, didn't you put it in there?
Probably a dozen people with IRS numbers.
There's a really funny thing online about Brad Pitt.
I saw that.
How he looks like everybody he's dated.
Yeah, he takes on the hairstyle of his girlfriend of the moment.
It is so goddamn funny.
I know. It's
he really
it
does.
It looks real. The one, the Gwyneth Paltrow one, is the one that just kills everybody.
I was just going to say. But if you read the tweets, too, someone pointed out that he also takes on their personality, which seems to be very true as well. Tends to act like all the women he dates.
Their personality?
Yeah. Well, just like he did with Angelina Jolie. He acted like he cared about the things that she cared about.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Oh, wow. The Juliette Lewis one looks pretty good, too.
I know. I was looking at the old pictures of him, and it's just really strange. I don't know. I'm having a hard time reconciling sort of this opinion I gained of him as this. I don't know. He seemed like, first of all, he seems like a nice guy, generally speaking.
I think Brad Pitt means well
in what he does.
Yeah, he's fine.
But
he's harmless.
As I was looking back at all those old relationships, first of all, I thought, for a guy that everyone thought was so hot, he looks kind of stupid in some of those, especially when he's copying their hairstyle. It makes him look dumber.
Yeah.
And then this whole thing with the architecture in New Orleans.
I know. So
is like,
dumb.
I remember reading so many times about Brad always wanted to be an architect, and he has dozens of architecture books and spends hours reading them. And I always thought, wow, he's really, it's almost like he's an architect or something. And I guess I feel dumb for buying into it. And then when he was building those houses in New Orleans, I thought, God, this Brad Pitt, he's really a sharp guy. Jeez. And then the roofs are collapsing. The walls are falling in. And he's completely disappeared. He said they raised enough money to build 150 houses. They hadn't even gotten to 100 yet, and they're out of money. It's like, is this because he's a star, we indulge something he's really not good at just to pretend that he is? Because
yeah,
it sounds like a nice story.
He had so much money, so he
he's
could
a beautiful
help
man.
Out.
And there's literally been, it sounds to me like, zero solution offered to this problem. People are abandoning homes they put whatever money they had left into. And they're like, you can own this home. And there's a 10-year warranty on them, too, which I thought was really a 10-year warranty on a home. Whoever heard of needing a warranty that a home would still stand
for
in 10 years?
Years yeah.
Well, when you're buying a Brad Pitt house, you need a warranty. It needs to be more than 10 years, apparently.
Do you think he's just totally moved on from that, has no clue what's happening, or is he sitting at his drafting table right now drawing up new homes?
A couple stories about it, and he seems very unavailable for comment.
Yeah. But is that on purpose or because he's just flaky and moving on to the next thing?
I just think he's so busy getting over Angelina Jolie and his new sober quote-unquote life.
That other chick dumped him, though, that MIT...
did she?
Yeah, she's back.
Get
with
her
billionaire hedge fund manager boyfriend, and she went to, like, Paris.
I think those houses collapsing had something to do with it. She thought she was...
Brad was seen in the area trying to destroy...
I'm with
she
a
didn't
really
be with him.
Famous yeah. actor who's really smart. He builds houses, too. Because she's an MIT professor.
Isn't she into architecture?
She realizes he's a dope.
Yeah.
His houses are falling down.
You can't have that. If you're an architecture professor, you can't be dating someone whose homes are falling down.
I don't remember what is she a professor of?
I thought it was architecture.
I mean, the whole thing, Trudy nailed it. Trudy said, oh, he's trying to do the Clooney thing.
There's a picture of him having matching hair with Clooney as well.
I saw that.
And Tom Cruise. I can't stop looking at him. They're really funny. So whoever he's hanging out with, he adopts their hair.
Did Mission Impossible come out this weekend?
Yeah, it did really well.
Did people like it? I heard it. Somebody, I was reading a bad review of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's check the thermometer.
And my friend who works for James Corden sent me a link of Corden skydiving with Cruise. Is that funny?
I didn't find it funny. I watched part of it.
Well, he works there, so.
Cruise got to show off that he can jump out of a plane without anybody strapped to him.
Ooh!
Oh, Lord.
And Corden was strapped to somebody. They went down. You couldn't really tell. I mean, the crowd is laughing because Corden's doing things with his hands while he's falling. And everybody's like, that's so funny. I didn't find anything funny.
What do you think you got on the thermometer?
Oh, Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
I heard it was good.
The viewers or the critics?
Both.
Okay, I'm going to say the critics will give it a 46. And the viewers, I'm going to say 57.
I'm going to say much higher.
Audience gave it a 93.
What?
Critics gave it a 98.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I've been reading about how it's the best one of the entire series. What number is this? 6?
I don't know.
I think it's more than 6.
Oh, Alec Baldwin's in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've brought on a lot of people. Simon
Pegg. Oh, so
Pegg
is Ving Rhames. Did you see what happened to Ving Rhames?
What happened to him?
He was doing an interview and someone asked him, have you ever experienced racism? And he tells this story about he had the cops called on him once because he was in his house because he's a big black dude. And so the cops showed up, and he opened the door, and they're like, put your hands up. Open the screen door with one hand. And then the guy goes, oh, you're Ving Rhames. But one of his neighbors called the cops on his house because he was in it.
You live there?
Yeah. There was a report of an intruder, a big black intruder. I mean, he is a big
Wait,
dude.
But he knew that Ving Rhames lived next door, and he called the cops when Ving Rhames was inside
his
own house?
Obviously, the neighbor had no idea he lived there. But the cop that was there recognized him. Because it's Ving Rhames.
I would not recognize Ving Rhames.
Yeah, you would.
I don't think I would know his name. I think I would know he's someone, but I don't know if I'd go, Ving Rhames!
You gave your...
I want a selfie!
You gave your Emmy to... didn't he give it to some old white actor? The guy from Jack Lemmon. Didn't he give his Oscar to Jack Lemmon when he won? Or am I confusing two actors?
It's not Michael Clark Duncan, is it? I used to get those two mixed up all the time.
Yikes.
No, you're right, though.
How racist of me. Yeah, that's right. See? I just remember this going, what?
Gave it to Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, which seemed really weird, didn't
it's
it?
An honor.
But no one mentioned
how
weird
like
that was.
I'd like a hand of applause for all of the other nominees, please.
Now he's going to win another one.
Stanislavski said,
but would you even think that Ving Rhames knew Jack Lemmon? Like, even who he was?
And I love the
is
art.
Is he being moved by his own
here.
Work?
Oh, yeah.
And is Mr. Jack Lemmon here?
What if
is
Jack,
he here?
I don't think, I would say, would you know what, I don't want here, it. Sir? I didn't want anything. I don't want your Oscar or Golden Globe or whatever. Well, I thought Jack Lemmon was dead. This is wild.
I had no idea that he even knew who he was. Do they work on a movie together?
Is Jack Lemmon, he's dead, isn't he?
Yeah.
I feel, maybe he got his Oscar back or Golden Globe back.
I feel that being an artist is about giving, and I'd like to give this to you, Mr. Jack Lemmon.
It's yours. No, it's yours. He doesn't want it.
It's weird.
I think Jack Lemmon should give it away. And say, you know, I really don't want this. I didn't win it. So here, I'm going to give it to you.
Well, it's kind of insulting.
Matt
isn't
Damon.
It? He's passed him around the room. Robin Williams, there you go.
Funniest thing about this is Jack Nicholson is in the crowd going, you can give it to me. Give it to me.
Oh, now Lemon has to give a speech.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
He doesn't give a speech. You didn't win it. He gave it to
I
you.
I wish I could accept this.
Why are you laughing?
And I can, but I won't. You know, I knew that Don King was a character, but I didn't know you were crazy. That is one of the nicest, sweetest moments I've ever known in my life.
Sure. Yeah, but you didn't win it.
That's funny. How long ago is this?
This was in 98.
It's really, isn't it funny seeing the people in the crowd who were huge then, who
Helen
are
Hunt.
Not huge now at all?
Ooh, the good old-fashioned Lemon Buddy.
Goldie Hawn wiping away a tear.
John Voight.
Well, I'll get it to you. Anyway.
Why?
Now he's stuck with the fucking thing. He doesn't want it.
Jody Foster,
Jack, never shows up anymore.
I have had some marvelous moments at these ceremonies over the years. But the next category is Time's Up.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He started the movement of Time's
anyway,
Up 20 years ago. It never took off because it was Jack Lemmon.
The most memorable moment of the years.
Yeah. I didn't even remember that. There's Dustin Hoffman.
Really?
He's thinking about upskirting some chick. We know that now. All right, get us out of here, Brandon.
Oh, Lord. Someone please explain that to me.
Oh, I need some rest.
You got jet lag?
Yeah, not really. I just wasn't ready to do a show particularly. Although there were a few things that came along and made it easier. However, tomorrow Trudy's here. And what else is going on? Wait, there's something significant.
Tomorrow.
Do we pass 16,000 Facebook likes, Brandon? Can you check?
I'll check.
According to Righteous Rick's page, we're having him on tomorrow.
Really?
Well, I told him we might have him on Monday. It's this whole, he sent me all the emails. I don't have the energy to read through them, but he's really mad at one person.
Over his trouble he got into.
Yeah. Yeah. So he
well,
sent me
he
all the papers.
Why didn't he bring that up in the court case?
Drew, I don't know. But I would, instead of me reading it, I'd rather just have him on to explain it.
He's the type, though, he'll mention names and
yeah,
he'll
true.
Make it really complicated.
That's true.
He'll assume we know people we don't know.
Well, that's...
People know all things Righteous Rick.
There you go. You hit the nail on the head. He assumes I know this whole story and this whole court case.
He only tells very limited parts. I don't know. We'll talk
He's
to
very
him.
Passionate about it.
Any luck, Brandon?
It just says 16K, but I don't know if that means... Oh, yeah, 16,397.
Likes?
Page follows.
Really?
Thank
moved,
you.
Moved by your own greatness, huh?
I am. We're fighting to get to 15,000. We just breezed to 16. Like us on Facebook. Rate us on Facebook. Rate us on iTunes. Rate us anywhere the show can be rated. And we'll see you mañana. Have a good Monday, if that's possible. See you.
Bentley is a friend we're all lucky to know.
Thank you for your time.